Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. 4:02 on a Tuesday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. Welcome aboard another edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, headed your way on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at KGYMradio.com. Baseball season is back after a one-day hiatus. The postseason begins tonight with the National League Wild Card contest between the Washington Nationals and the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll have that game coming up for you tonight, and you can let us know on the KGYM website who you think will win that game tonight in advance to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. It's our poll question today, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. John Bonenkamp will join us of, I'm going to say he's with Sports Illustrated. We will let John get into the particulars of his new venture at Hawkeye Maven at 4:30 tonight, getting into football and basketball with John. Big Ten Media Days tomorrow in Chicago. John will be joining us somewhere between Iowa City and Chicago on Interstate 88. Speaking of the Windy City, Chris Emma of 670 WSCR, the Score in Chicago, is with us tonight at 5:02. We've got Bears football to discuss as Chicago heads overseas to London to face the Raiders this weekend. We'll also get the latest on the search to replace Joe Maddon from Chris. Words with Ferentz coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, brought to you by our friends at Network Computer Solutions. Kirk Ferentz meeting the media in Iowa City earlier today. Plus, you've been waiting at least 24 hours for it on Pins and Needles. Alex and I will give you our Major League Baseball postseason predictions coming up at 5:30 tonight. All that and more on the way over the next 3 hours. But first, Alex Kuhn, still recovering from the worst fantasy football beat of his life last night.
See, it was such a bad beat that I didn't even know. It didn't even register to me that I possibly could lose. But I was up by 5 going into the night with Juju Smith-Schuster going for me. And all that he had left was the Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
You would not expect to take a beat.
No,
but with that matchup. But you did, because it turns out that the Cincinnati Bengals are really bad at football.
So I take back everything that I said, all the slander about Jameis Winston possibly being the worst quarterback in the NFL. That title definitely goes to Andy Dalton at this point, does it not? He is really, really bad, and I know his offensive line is
not very
good.
There are some bad quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Is it really Dalton?
I'm trying to think of who's worse. I'm racking my brain here. I'm not going to count Chase Daniel. I'm not even going to throw Mitchell Trubisky in that category. Andy Dalton, it just looks like at this point, with the way that that roster is constructed, it looks like he's done.
So with 4 weeks in the books, you've got three teams undefeated at this point. You've got the Kansas City Chiefs, you've got the Patriots, and the San Francisco 49ers at 3-0. Who would have predicted that going into the season? Good luck to everybody who's still alive in the KGYM knockout pool presented by our good friends at Imon Communications. Somebody's going to win $500 this season, and with each passing week, taking home that $500 gets a little bit tougher. We'll get to the Bears with Chris Emma, as we mentioned, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour tonight. Bears tied atop the NFC North with the Green Bay Packers. Plenty of football discussion on the way today with Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell both meeting the media. Sounds like the Hawkeyes are close to being healthy for this weekend's game at Michigan. Alaric Jackson, Julius Brents, and Kayvon Merriweather all practiced for the Hawkeyes today. So barring any setbacks, it looks like they could be ready to go. Now, no update on Matt Hankins and some other injury question marks around this team. It does sound like Kyler Schott is going to be a couple weeks away from returning. Kirk mentioned that in passing this afternoon. We'll hear the highlights again coming up at 6:05 tonight inside Words with Ferentz. But as Kirk put it himself, this is a significant step up in competition this week.
Yes, it is. And I've said this. This is their moment where they're going to prove whether or not they're for real this season, whether or not they're contenders in the Big Ten West or contenders to, I'm not going to say at this point win the Big Ten, because I do think that Ohio State is just a step above everybody at this point. But can they close out a game? Can they beat upper-level competition in the Big Ten? I'm not sold on Michigan. I think that they have a lot of warts. I think their offense has been terrible. And their defense is not what it has been in the past. When you lose Devin Bush and Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich, and you don't just step in and become a top 10 defense again, even though that's what most people expected out of them. I think Iowa can and maybe even should win this game, even though it's on the road. I know it's Michigan, but they're going to have to execute, and they were unable to do that last year in close games against good teams, and this is their first chance to buck that trend and show that 2019 is a completely different year than 2018.
You can reach out to us all throughout the program today on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. That number is 319-366-1600. Iowa travels to Michigan. Iowa State gets to sit back and play at home against TCU, but that's a big game as well for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones. As we mentioned, lots of football to discuss over the course of the next 3 hours. I've had a little bit of an up-and-down day, Alex. I got sideswiped in Coralville on my way to Kirk Ferentz's news conference today.
See, I heard that you were parked, right?
I was parked and am now dealing with my second accident that was not my fault in the last 6 or 7 months. And that was the bad news today. The good news is that we had about a dozen Boy Scouts that came through the office about 25-30 minutes ago here on a little bit of a tour, and none of them tried to sell me popcorn.
There you
go. So I was able to, you take the good with the bad. You take whatever life doles out, and there's a yin to a yang. I already see the neighbor already got to us with the popcorn over the weekend. And I'll tell you what, yesterday I was looking at my 401k statement, and I'm thinking that I've made some bad investments in my life. I should have gotten in on the Boy Scout popcorn at the lowest rung, because that seems to be where the money is at.
What was the lowest rung?
It's good. The lowest rung? I think
that'd be a while ago.
It's about $18, $20 a tin now.
I think this has been a pretty hot commodity for a while now.
Is there anybody out there who collects the tins that Boy Scout popcorn comes in? They sell you that as if it's a sticking point, like this is going to put you over the top here. You get to keep the tin with the image on the outside of it. Does anybody keep those things?
My dad used to use them as like, Where to put the socks in the laundry room. Just put them in those popcorn
cans.
Tins.
Of socks just laying just around
socks
in the laundry
everywhere.
Room. And occasionally...
We upgraded, though. We got baskets.
Occasionally, you're looking for a pair of Argyle socks, and you come across a handful of mud puddle, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. 319-366-1600. We do have baseball on the way for you tonight. The Nationals and the Brewers on tap. This should be a pretty good matchup. It sounds like Washington is going to try to ride Max Scherzer as far as it can before turning to either Steven Strasburg or Patrick Corbin, because their bullpen is awful. And we do have some Brewers fans here in Eastern Iowa. I don't know how to feel about this team. They didn't exactly perform all that well in Colorado when the chips were on the table. Not that they controlled their own destiny, because the Cardinals were facing the Cubs and they took care of business. But without Christian Yelich, you have, I saw the lineup for the game earlier within the last hour. They have a rookie leading off and a rookie, I believe Keston Hiro was batting cleanup, if I recall the lineup.
Correct.
And both of those guys deserve to be there. Trent Grisham is a tremendous ball player, and he's settled into that leadoff role quite nicely. And Keston Hiro, I've been high on him all season long. Again, we'll get to our postseason predictions coming up at 5:30, but I think it's the end of the line for the Brewers tonight.
Okay, but let me ask you the question. How are the Nationals going to find a way to screw this up? Because
well,
you know it's coming.
If they turn to their relievers. And and that's why I think Dave Martinez is content to take this as a winner-take-all approach, all hands on deck. He's not going to think of this as a traditional game where, okay, Scherzer gives you six or seven, and let's go to the bullpen. This is Scherzer can give you five or six, and then you bring in Steven Strasburg or Patrick Corbin or whoever's available to you who's not a member of your bullpen. Juan Soto, I think, could be the difference maker tonight. I'm just a huge, huge fan of him. And I've got the Nationals, for those of you who are interested in this sort of information, and this is where we'll go and do the tout here, where I'll completely ignore the fact that last night on the air, I said my teaser play would be Cincinnati and the over. You tease that over down and Cincinnati up, and you've got a winner. I'm going to ignore that. I'm going to pretend like I never said it, and I'm going to focus on what, Alex? Who did I say was going to score the first touchdown last night? James Conner.
You said James Conner.
5-1. So I'm going to ignore the fact that I gave everybody bad advice on the game, and I'm going to focus on the one play that I suggested and won.
See, that's how we do it. We just throw a bunch of darts.
Exactly.
And if one hits a balloon, we're winners.
And you just hope that somebody...
We get the stuffed animals and...
Some talent scout comes along and they find you and they give you a high-profile gig at a larger market, right? Isn't that... Yeah, this guy, he can shout into the ether with the best of them. He's the next Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd, who, by the way, is doing very good once again with his NFL picks. We used to have those here on the station. We no longer do, but Colin has had a tremendous start to the season. So my advice to anybody who wants to go anywhere near the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside Casino tonight on the National League wildcard game, they do offer the first five innings. And I would bet, and this is advice passed along by the sage Smokin' Dave Koken on the gym class every Thursday, bet the starting pitchers. You bet the first five innings, you're essentially playing the starting pitchers. And you go Brandon Woodruff, who's been good this season, but not great. Max Scherzer, who's struggled, I'm not going to lie, had him on my fantasy baseball team and was a little disappointed with his production toward the end of the season, but he's still Max Scherzer. First five innings tonight, the Nationals giving up half a run. You lay 120 to win 100. There you go, my free play of the night. 319-366-1600, and I just ensured that the Brewers... We're going to be leading like 3-0 after the first five innings. And then the mob with its pitchforks and torches will be right outside the window. Let's focus on something that I think we need to embrace at this point, and that's the fact that the fundraiser that Carson King was responsible for has wrapped up at this point. I was sitting on the couch last night at it was about 11:40. I was just getting ready to go to bed. And I had my phone in my hand, and I thought, you know what? I haven't done anything with this yet. And so I opened up my Venmo account, which, of course, had no money in it because I don't have any money in any of my accounts. And I sent a little money to Carson-King-25 prior to midnight, which was the cutoff for the matching donations. They were hoping or they thought that maybe they could get to $3 million. They fell just shy. But after the matching and the tripling and all of that comes into play, the young man who had a Bush Light sign at College Game Day in Ames in the middle of September over the course of 3 weeks, are you ready for this, raised $2,959,336.30. And I laugh at the 30 cents part because it means somebody donated a dime and it got tripled. $2,959,336.30. And the UI Stead Family Children's Hospital could take that money and they could put it on the first five innings tonight against. No. Be responsible with that money. Be responsible with that money. That's a great. And I know we got caught up in a lot of the other issues that were going on in that story and what happened with the Des Moines Register and the social media posts from Twitter. $2,959,336.30 going to the Children's Hospital. The impact that you can have just in life by making one small choice, and he made one small choice. He had a couple $100 at that point, I think, in his Venmo account when he decided that he was going to donate it to the Children's Hospital. And that one small little decision rippled to the tune of $2,959,336.30. How impressive is that? Who among us has made anything near the impact that that gift will have? I mean, I'm a little in awe of that, thinking about it. And what I'm thinking here is that we need somebody around here to do something like this, and then we can latch on to it the way that the Des Moines media latched on to this and sort of made it their own, even though it wasn't their story to begin with, and then we raise our profile through somebody else's act of giving. Would that be bad?
Questionable.
Okay.
It would be a questionable ethical move.
Nobody's ever said that I've had the greatest ethics in the world. 319-366-1600, and taking a look at the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. 2142 says there is a traffic backup at the westbound Interstate 80 ramp north on 380. So the westbound side of Interstate 80 at the ramp going north to 380, traffic is backed up there. Could be construction, could be an accident. Don't have further details on that. But if you're westbound on Interstate 80, you could run into a little bit of a snarl near the 380 ramp. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. 3530 always loves the references to Smoke and Dave Koken that we make on the program.
He's good.
He's not cheap, but he's good.
There's no more preseason hockey for him to give us information on.
When is opening night?
Tomorrow night.
I know the Blackhawks are playing overseas against the Philadelphia Flyers because there was a video today of Tommy Hawk and Gritty flying overseas for the opener. So I know
we're
the Blackhawks
spreading Gritty to
Gritty
the rest
is,
of the world.
Yes.
This is fantastic.
The United States is trying to rehabilitate its image on an international stage, and our emissary is Gritty. I don't think anything could possibly go wrong there.
Nothing could possibly go wrong, and it can only rehab the image of our country. That's what Gritty's going to do. Gritty is going to be the peacemaker, the ambassador of the United States.
Gritty. The mascot of the Philadelphia Phillies, Philadelphia Flyers. Just happens to be a large, hairy, orange creature. 319-366-1600.
I want kids' reactions from around the world of Gritty, of meeting Gritty.
Gritty's only a year old. They unveiled him, I think, sometime last week. A year ago, and he's taken the nation. Name me a mascot that's had more of a cultural impact in the last 365 days than Gritty.
I'll wait. You can't do it.
Yeah, 93.55 with a little more detail on that accident. It's a semi-rollover, so that's serious. That's going to take some time to clear up. So northbound 380, that's actually where the semi-rollover occurred, and that's what's causing the backup. So if you are on Highway 80 heading west and you want to get north to Cedar Rapids or points thereabout, my suggestion to you would be perhaps exit at the North Liberty exit, to go up 965 through North Liberty and around. It'll take you a little bit of extra time, but that should circumvent the accident route there. Now I'm giving traffic updates. See, you tune into this program, you have no idea what we're going to do to change your life on a daily basis. I can make money for you by telling you to put money on James Conner scoring the first touchdown last night, and I can save you 20 minutes coming home on your commute tonight because now you know that there's an accident on 380.
What other advice do you have for us?
Well, we're going to go over the Major League Baseball postseason coming up at 5:30 today. I went earlier and wrote down yesterday, didn't get a chance to get to these, but my preseason predictions, and I got to tell you, I had no clue what I was talking about back in April. That much is evident every year when I do these. I did have the central divisions of both the AL and the NL for the most part figured out. At the very last minute, if you recall me saying this on the air, I had the Cubs in third place,
yeah,
and then I drew an arrow and put them above Milwaukee, and I slid them back into second because the fandom in me just could not allow myself to believe that the Cubs could finish third. So I can't give myself full credit for that. So that was my only miss, was Milwaukee and Chicago 2 and 3. And then in the AL Central, I did have Cleveland on top of Minnesota, although I had the Twins getting a wild card. Not that that matters after the season that the Twins had. For some reason, I could not get either of the West divisions even remotely accurate other than the team that won.
Well, I was going to say, I would assume that you had the Dodgers and the
had the
Astros
Dodgers
winning.
Had Houston, was way too high on San Diego. I think I was a year early on them. Doesn't look like they're going to get Joe Maddon now, so I'm curious as to who they will hire. There's a rumor that maybe Bruce Bochy decides he doesn't want to retire and goes back to San Diego and works with that young bunch. And boy, you want to talk about firing blanks on this one. I had the Angels and the Mariners finishing second and third in the AL West. They actually finished fourth and fifth, respectively. And Oakland, which plays and hosts Tampa Bay tomorrow in the AL wildcard game, I had them in fourth place.
The good news is if you're not first, you're last. So as long as you got the first place team, you're good.
There you go. And I had the first place team in every division except for the AL Central. I did miss the Twins. I had the Yankees, I had the Astros, Dodgers, Cardinals, and I did have Atlanta. I was too high on the Phillies, who finished fourth in the NL East. I had the Phillies finishing second and grabbing one of the wild cards. I don't know why you would listen to me for baseball advice. I really don't, because this was a crapshoot, and I missed entirely, and that's why we're inviting you to join us for my baseball predictions along with Alex's coming up at 5:30 tonight, where we will magically once again know exactly what we're talking about and be experts.
We'll get these ones right. We didn't get the other predictions
exactly
right, but these are going to be
different. It's our 45-star lock of the year. We are perfect on these, and then you whisper, we're 37 and 14 over
22
the,
and 21 on these picks.
And we will remind you of the ones that we hit, and we won't talk ever again. We will speak never again of the predictions that we make that do not come home for you. 319-366-1600. Appreciate hearing from you on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. John Bonenkamp coming up with us in just a few minutes. Got an exciting new venture that he's a part of with Sports Illustrated. He'll tell you all about that and preview the Iowa men's basketball season along with some football chatter. But first, Kyle Mann, our producer, a busy guy on Tuesdays with Kirk Ferentz and the players discussing things in Iowa City. He joins us in the studio three times a day. He brings you a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can find him on 420th Street. Also, the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City, and for what feels like the first time this season, he offered some good news as it pertains to Iowa's health concerns. Alaric Jackson's back on the depth chart and sounds likely to play, possibly even start. Kevon Merriweather's going to be healthy and available, although it sounds like Jack Kerner's taken the reins of the starting gig, and Julius Brents will also be available, although Michael Ojemudia and DJ Johnson will start at the corners. Matt Campbell didn't have quite as good a news for Iowa State fans. First of all, Jaquan Bailey's doubtful for this weekend after suffering a lower leg injury against Baylor. Of course, a huge blow to that front seven, forcing the team to at least consider moving freshman Will McDonald back to defensive end. Colin Newell, though, has already missed three games with a knee injury, but Campbell did say he's getting closer and is questionable this week. Two guys who are feeling good are Kenny Nwangwu and Tariq Milton, who both sound like they'll be at full strength. Another school in our state, though, had the most devastating injury news, and that was Grinnell College, which announced today that it's already suffered enough injuries that it's going to be withdrawing from competitive play through the rest of the season. Carson King's Venmo finally closed at midnight last night, closing the door on what turned into one of the most successful accidental charity campaigns in the history of mankind. The final total that he raised came out to $2.95 million, all to be donated to the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. Tonight after the show on all three KGYM frequencies, we're starting October with a little playoff baseball. The Brewers are in Washington, D.C. for the NL wildcard, and they'll have Brandon Woodruff throwing against the Nationals ace Max Scherzer. We'll be your home for playoff baseball until a champion is crowned.
I got to go Max Scherzer over Brandon Woodruff every time. John Bonenkamp is going to join us in a few minutes to extol the virtues of his Los Angeles Dodgers. Major League Baseball's running a promotion at MLB.com. where if you pick the perfect playoff bracket, you can win $250,000. And I filled a bracket out, and much like the NCAA tournament bracket every March, I looked at it and realized that I went heavy on the favorites, not to let any of the air out of the balloon for 5:30 tonight, but can you make a case for anybody beating the Astros this year? Maybe the Yankees. But the Astros just look like an unstoppable force at this point with Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, and Zach Greinke. And then the offense, Carlos Correa's hobbled a little bit, but you've got Alex Bregman and Yordan Alvarez. I mean, that's a darn good-looking team heading into the postseason right now. And Alex and I will give our predictions coming up. Now, if you use our predictions and you win $250,000 for Major League Baseball, yo llama, about a little something for the effort here. We'll step aside and take a quick break. John Bonenkamp of Hawkeye Maven and Sports Illustrated set to join us next. And if you're scratching your head over that introduction, John will fill you in after this.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinics October 3rd in Coralville or October 10th at their Cedar Rapids location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP Clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro, CarePROHealthServices.com.
When donations are made to United Way of East Central Iowa, they're helping create lasting change in the lives of people in our community. United Way identifies where there are gaps of need, supports programs filling those gaps, and inspires others to join the fight for the health, education, and financial stability of families in East Central Iowa. That's why they say, United we fight, united we thrive. Go to uweci.org to learn more about how you, too, can join the fight.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
Welcome back in, 4:33, the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from the confines of the KGYM studio today on a Tuesday. Thursday, we're going to be back at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. It's another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. We invite you to join us. We'll have some great prizes for you. We'll do the show from 4 until 7, happy hour from 3 until 6, and Thursdays at Mulligan's feature half-price wings. Baseball predictions to come. The postseason getting underway tonight with the Brewers and the Nationals. We'll have that game for you right here on KGYM. The postseason predictions coming up at 5:30 tonight. Chris Emma of 670 WSCR in Chicago with us at 5:02 tonight. And we'll hear highlights of Kirk Ferentz's weekly news conference at 6:05 this evening, Inside Words with Ferentz. Someone who, along with us, was in Iowa City earlier today to hear Kirk firsthand is joining us now on his way to Chicago for Big Ten Basketball Media Day tomorrow. John Bonenkamp, I'm very disappointed. I was so looking forward to describing you as a word mercenary during your appearances on the program, but you've got yourself a new full-time gig now, and I can't really describe it to everybody, so I said I would let you break the news to our listeners about what you're doing now.
It's a website devoted to Hawkeye sports. It's called Hawkeye Maven. It's a Sports Illustrated-powered website. The Maven is a media company out of Seattle that has bought, I'm not sure what the whole deal is with Sports Illustrated. Anyway, they are putting together sites for teams around the country, Power 5 conferences. And I'm the Iowa beat writer. So it's my website. It's, you know, I'm responsible for the content. It's a pretty neat deal. I'm glad they called me. I'm glad they offered me the chance to do this, and now it's up to me to make it work. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm back full time on the beat and getting paid for it, and so I'm really happy.
Can you get us a lead on some of those football phones that Sports Illustrated used to give out back in the day?
I was told I will be getting some sort of clothing. I will ask them because I want one too. So I'll see if I can get some football phones for everybody.
Windbreakers work nicely this time of year, so I'm told. John,
we'll get to
Seinfeld references for everybody at Hawkeye Maven.
Yeah.
We will get to basketball and the reason for your road trip to Chicago in just a little bit. But I think the takeaway from Kirk Ferentz's news conference today is the fact that the Hawkeyes they're not 100% healthy going to Ann Arbor this weekend, but some pretty important names seem to be back in the mix after practice today.
Yeah, I think it's good to see guys like Alaric Jackson back and Kayvon Merriweather. You're starting to see now, you know, and I think you could kind of see this coming here in the last couple of weeks. You knew the bye week came at a good time. You knew that the game against Middle Tennessee State came at a good time, that you could allow some of these guys to get rested, get healthy, get back. And now you get them for what is going to be really a crucial point in the season. You know, you're at Michigan, you play Penn State, you're in this, whatever it is, five-game stretch right now. And so, I mean, it really was important, I think, to get them back. And you know, we said it back when the bye week had happened that it was going to be a good time, and it really was. I think now you're starting to get some guys back and healthy, and that helps your depth. And now you've also gotten some guys some experience, too, that could help you down the road. So, you know, really right now it's not best-case scenario because not everybody is back, but it's a pretty good scenario right now for them.
This team's 4-0, but they're going to ultimately be judged on, like you said, this next five-week stretch, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because, I mean, I think this kind of determines – you know, I mean, this will determine on how they, where they're at in the division. These are all conference games now. You're not playing, you know, you're not playing the Middle Tennessee States and the Miami Ohio's. You know, you already have a conference win that went over Rutgers, and that was important. But now you're going to be, like you said, now you're going to be judged on, you know, what you do here, especially in the next few weeks. You know, these are two big games coming up. I mean, you're playing Michigan on the road, and then you get Penn State at home. Under the lights, that's going to be, you know, a great atmosphere. And you know, so, you know, if you win them both, you're in really good shape. But you also then still have to take care of business within your division. You lose them both, and that puts a lot of pressure on you then down the stretch.
John Bonenkamp with us of Hawkeye Maven. Hawkeyes travel to Ann Arbor this weekend to take on the Michigan Wolverines. We heard about Wisconsin almost as much as we did Michigan during Kirk Ferentz's news conference today. What did Wisconsin show in regards to Michigan football 2 weeks ago?
You know, I think it just, I mean, just the way they played them defensively. And again, you talk about how Iowa's going to be measured. Now, you know, it's like Wisconsin, in my mind, is Iowa's biggest challenger for that division title. And so, you know, I mean, Wisconsin dominated Michigan that day, and you know, really on both sides of the ball. So, you know, if you're Iowa and you go in there and you can do the same thing, that just makes that game coming up here, you know, later in the year against the Badgers that much more interesting. But if you don't play well against them and Michigan, you know, gets the win in this one, then you start, you know, then everybody's going to start saying, well, this is Wisconsin's division and all that. So, I mean, really, we're going to get a comparison because, like you said, this is the same Michigan team as just a couple weeks ago that they played. So it's a lot of the same teams. So let's see what Iowa does against them. And it is kind of a way then to look in the mirror and see what they look like as compared to Wisconsin.
Am I crazy to think that Iowa's defense, this is a good matchup for them? Because I saw Michigan the first 3 weeks of the season. I'm throwing Rutgers out because we know what Rutgers football has been this year. Shea Patterson was not good, and the entire offense under their new offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis, looked completely lost.
Yeah, and then, so yeah, I mean, I think it is a really good matchup for Iowa's defense. And Iowa's defense has played really well. I mean, you know, we expected at the beginning of the year that A.J. Epinesa was going to dominate, and every team has thrown everything they can at him. And that's opened up some other guys on the defensive line, and so they've gotten some really good line play. The secondary has survived some of the injuries they've had. You know, obviously they haven't been able to do the cash package as much as they would like to just because of the injuries on the back end. But, I mean, really that's a unit that from front to back has played really well. And so I think this is a good challenge for them, but I think it's one that they can handle just because of the way they've played so far.
Iowa has won five of its last six meetings against Michigan dating back to 2009. Now, it's been a while since these teams have seen each other on a yearly basis, but that's a pretty impressive streak there for Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, again, Michigan – you know, you look at the Big Ten, and even in years when Michigan is down, you always kind of want to measure yourself against programs like this. And so the way they've been able to play against them, and, you know, yeah, okay, they needed a last-second kick to beat them back in 2016, but Iowa played really well that night to be in that position to win the game in the closing seconds. So they've always done good things against this team, and I know it was brought up today that some of Iowa's best seasons have included wins over Michigan. And so, I mean, I think that's, you know, this is, no matter what we think of this Michigan team, it's still Michigan. It's still, you know, you're still at Ann Arbor. It's a place where if you can get a win, it really does kind of give you a lot of momentum heading into the rest of Big Ten play. You just want to go in there and play well. against a program that's always been one of the best in the Big Ten.
We talked about mistakes a lot last year in those four losses, the very close losses, and it seemed like every single game, really other than the Purdue game, it was a critical mistake, whether it was by Nate Stanley or someone else that cost Iowa in those games. When you look at Nate Stanley so far, is that just one of the biggest X factors for this team now moving into Big Ten play, continue to play mistake-free football or at least limit the mistakes? You're going to make some, but at least limit them.
Right. Well, that's the one thing. I mean, their turnovers, I mean, no interceptions, you know, through the first four games. And he came close to one last week, and I asked him today, I said, what were you thinking? You know, what are you thinking when you see a guy, you know, defender all of a sudden pop up out of nowhere? And he said, my first thought was, oh, crap, I better start running. And, you know, and as it turned out, it bounced off the guy's hands and it turned into a 33-yard gain. But really, I mean, just the way he has run this offense, it's just a very steady offense right now in the way they're doing it. And they're not, I mean, like you said, they're not turning the ball over. They're not committing penalties. They're not making mistakes. And I think a lot of it, I think I asked Amir Smith-Marset about it today. I said, what's the biggest factor in your mind? And he said, it's the fact that we're just a lot older right now. You know, and I mean, older than they were a year ago or 2 years ago. And so there's a lot of experience there, and you can see that now in this team and the way they run this offense. It's just been pretty much mistake-free.
John, the guys on the gym class talked with Jim Brandstatter, the play-by-play voice of the Wolverines, and he sort of deflected a question about the heat on Jim Harbaugh. He said there's really no pressure on him in Ann Arbor, that talk is all outside the confines of Michigan's home location. Are you buying that? I have a hard time looking at Harbaugh's production or lack thereof over his 5 years at Michigan and not thinking that he's probably feeling a little heat in Ann Arbor.
The one good thing I think that saves him maybe from a lot more heat than what he's getting is he is Michigan royal, he's a Michigan man. And but I do think that's probably, you know, understating it. I think there's probably a little bit of, I think there's probably a lot of heat on him that we just don't know about, because they're not going to put up with this if you keep having bad seasons, especially if you lose to Ohio State. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a Michigan man or not, eventually that catches up with you. So, I mean, I think this program has got to start showing something here right now and be a serious contender in that division. And right now, I mean, you leave that division, Ohio State is really, really good. Penn State's really good. You know, so, I mean, you know, when you're third best in that division or fourth best or whatever, that, you know, there's going to be some diehards there that aren't going to be happy about that if that continues much longer.
Are the pictures in both the East and the West becoming clearer as to who the teams are that are emerging and maybe who are the pretenders coming into the year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you're going to see that shake out even more over the next couple of weeks. But, you know, like I said, you look at that Eastern Division, you look at the way Ohio State's played, I mean, that they're as good as anybody in the country. You know, you look at how Penn State's played, they've played well. You know, you look at how Wisconsin played, and you look at how Iowa's played. I mean, this is a team that went on the road and played a pretty good Iowa State team and won on a weird night with a lot of strange, you know, things happening. And, you know, they just look really experienced. But I do think this is a really good test for Iowa. We're going to learn a lot about them in the next couple of weeks just because of who they're playing and where they're playing them and the conditions, you know, the atmosphere they're going to be playing in. I think we're going to learn a lot about it. But I do think from a maturity standpoint, they can handle this right now. I mean, this is a team that I think is really steady right now.
John Bonenkamp joining us from his way to Chicago for Big Ten Basketball Media Day tomorrow. Let's switch gears and chat hoops for the moment. Iowa picked to finish eighth in a preseason poll conducted by The Athletic and the Columbus Dispatch. Sound about right to you?
Yeah. I mean, I think this is a team that I think the pieces are all I think this can be a really good team, but I think, and I've said this before, I think a lot of pieces have to fit together. And, you know, we just don't know Jordan Bohannon's status right now, and I'm going to go back to what I've been saying all along. I don't think he plays this year. I could be wrong, you know, but I mean, I just think that if he wants to be truly 100% healthy, I'm not so sure he plays this year. He may give it a go. You know, I mean, he may play the first few games that you can kind of play to still get that medical redshirt year, but I mean, like I said, I think he's you know, if he's there, great. If he's not there, I think all the pieces are there, but everything has to click. The margin of error is really limited.
If he can't go, how much do the expectations for this team need to be adjusted?
I think there will be people that will start thinking this isn't going to be a very good team. You know, but like I said, I think that you can make up the production of him, but I think you'll miss that leadership and you'll miss the ability to hit the big shots that he's been able to hit. But again, we don't know what Joe Wieskamp's going to look like. And I think he's going to take a really big step this year. And I think maybe that kind of helps them get over it if Jordan Bohannon can't play. You know, again, that's one of those pieces that I think you don't know where it's all going to fit. But I mean, I think that if he's there, great. But if not, you move on. And the one good thing is they've been practicing all summer if he isn't going to be there. So now they're kind of prepared for it, and everybody kind of seems to know what they're going to be doing.
More important newcomer, Patrick McCaffrey or Joe Toussaint?
Joe Toussaint. I mean, I think Patrick McCaffrey, I think everybody kind of has him pegged as a redshirt candidate, but I think he probably plays this year. But I think Joe Toussaint's the one that, I mean, you heard some things, some rumblings over the summer that he's a really good player. And, I mean, this is a guy that, you know, has played in, you know, played in New York City, played, you know, knows one of those tough, hard-nosed kids that I think they need. It's just a question of, you know, how much can he fit in his freshman year. But I think he has a bigger year for him than I think maybe people realize right now.
How much are they going to need from Jack Nungy coming off the redshirt?
A lot. You know, I mean, I think, you know, he can be kind of a nice, you know, his freshman year, he was kind of a nice bookend with Luca Garza, and I think he can be that again. You know, I think there's a lot of similarities in the things they can do. And if you've got two 6'10 guys that can step out and hit threes, that makes you a really tough team to defend. I think he gained a lot of experience just not playing last year. I think he got stronger. I think he understands the game a little bit better by, you know, just by watching and learning. And so I think he's going to have a pretty decent year. I mean, he had a decent freshman year, and I think, you know, sitting out last year helped him kind of prepare. And I think he's going to be a big part of this team.
27 of the 28 first-place votes in that Columbus Dispatch poll went to Michigan State. Maryland was the only other team that got a first-place vote. Any other teams that you think will try to lay claim to that upper division of the Big Ten tomorrow?
You know, I can't believe anybody voted against Michigan State. I mean, that's not just the number one team in the Big Ten. That's probably the number one team in the nation. I think it's going to be a lot like last year where you're going to have two or three teams at the top, you're going to have two or three teams at the bottom, and then everybody's going to be fighting for that middle spot. And so, like I said, I just think Michigan State's just way too good for everybody, and I think it'll show, especially down the stretch, because it's a team that has just so much, you know, ability, and I just can't see why anybody would have voted against it, to be honest.
John, we appreciate it, and we cannot let you go without referencing the start of Major League Baseball's postseason. Alex and I are going to give our predictions at 5:30 tonight, but I'm assuming that you have a certain team from the National League West reaching the World Series.
Oh, yeah, and I have them winning it. You know, I think they win the NLDS in two. I think they'll just stop it after the first two games, Major League Baseball. No, seriously, I think it'll be Dodgers, Braves, NLCS, and I think it'll be, you know, Astros, Yankees, and the ALCS. I just think it'll come down, it'll just be chalk, you know, all the way, and it'll be Dodgers, Astros, and World Series. You know, and if they can win a couple of games in the clown car down in Houston, I think they're in good shape. So, you know, like I said, I think they're, you know, they won 106 games this year, and it's just kind of hard to really, you know, picture that because there's been times where they just haven't played well. But they've been playing well here in the last couple of weeks, and you got a lot of young talent. And I mean, they've been there twice now, and I think they know that this is a chance for them to win one. So we'll see what happens.
Hawkeye Maven on Sports Illustrated. John Bonenkamp, the publisher, the editor, the garbage man, sort of the do-it-all one-stop shop there. We appreciate it. Congratulations.
Everything.
Congratulations on the new gig. And
thank you.
I wish I was there in Chicago with you tomorrow. We usually have fun at these types of events, but you'll have to have some without me.
Okay. I'll let you know how things go. So.
John Bonenkamp, appreciate the time as always, and check out the new website, Hawkeye Maven, part of the Sports Illustrated Network. The rumor had been out there for a couple years that Sports Illustrated was looking to get into the team websites, and there they go, off and running, and there are certainly plenty of very good qualified journalists out there in this day and age who are looking for new gigs because they were downsized out of their previous ones, and John fits the bill there. And we'll see whether or not you and I agree on the Dodgers. Dodgers-Braves would be an entertaining National League Championship Series. I'm sure there are some St. Louis Cardinals fans out there cringing at the thought of the Cardinals being brushed aside by the Braves, but we'll get a little bit deeper into that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. It's hard to believe we're talking basketball. Iowa plays at Michigan on Saturday, and we're going to be turning our attention briefly to Big Ten basketball tomorrow. I don't like that, but it's the media days are earlier and earlier, and you're trying to carve out a piece of the pie, the attention pie, and I get that, but it just seems like a bad time to be talking basketball.
It's not a great time, but I want to get back really quickly to something that John said about the Big Ten football landscape. Let me ask you a question. If rankings were just all based off of this year and there was no influence from last year, like we didn't think about Trevor Lawrence and what he did in the national championship game or how dominant Alabama was up until that game, would there be any doubt that Ohio State would be the number one team in the country right now?
In terms of football?
In football right now.
No.
They have looked like the number one, like the best team in the country so far.
They've checked off every box that you would expect a number one team to check off.
Right.
And yet, at the moment, they're on the outside looking
fifth.
In. But that's okay, because as long as you're fourth, as long as you get a seat at the table when everything is said and done, but I'd have a hard time wagering against them right now. And I'll tell you what, I would pay good money to see that matchup. I would love to see Ohio State go up against Clemson or Alabama right now.
I think we might get that chance.
And then we can have Paul Feinbaum and the rest of the world tell us till their hearts are content that the Big Ten can't match up with Clemson and they can't match up with the SEC speed in Alabama, and let Ohio State settle it. But to have them looking this good in the first year without Urban Meyer, I'd be lying if I didn't sit here and say I was a little surprised. And meanwhile, there's a team in Ann Arbor who, before they can even turn their attention to Ohio State at the end of the season, knows they'll have their hands full this weekend against the Hawkeyes. 5 of 6. There's a time where I'm not sure you could have ever envisioned Iowa having 5 of 6 wins in a series against Michigan. As a matter of fact, they've never had that stretch of prosperity against the Wolverines in the history of the program. Michigan is 41-15-4 against the Hawkeyes, and 5 of those 15 losses have come since 2009. Now, again, they've played in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, and then there was a break until 2016. So, legends and leaders, East-West, 9-game schedule, 319-366-1600. We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, a reminder of what's in store for a busy and fun-filled 5 o'clock hour after this.
It is inevitable at this point. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. There are a lot of people still running Windows 7 because they don't want to make that change. I very much empathize and understand, and we all do at Network Computer Solutions. That's where we're here to help, to be honest with you and get you through that process to be able to keep your business run effectively.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Field House First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food, stay for the sports. Field House First Avenue, Cedar Rapids.
So, you're a Cubs fan. Well, hold on to your helmet nachos, because Marquee Sports Network is coming with more Cubs than ever. In fact, more is a bit of an understatement. A huge home runs landing on Waveland-sized understatement. Because Marquee Sports Network will bring you pregame, postgame, game, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, and on top of the scoreboard. A network as dedicated as you. Marquee Sports Network, the exclusive new television home of Cubs baseball. Coming February 2020.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Who wins tonight's National League wildcard game between the Brewers and the Nationals? That's our poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. The winner advances to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers. The other National League matchup in the postseason, the Braves and the Cardinals, will give you our preview of what to expect, our predictions coming up at 5:30 today. Chris Emma of 670 WSCR, the Score in Chicago, is set to join us at 5:02 tonight. We will get into what the Bears need to do in London to beat the Oakland Raiders, but we'll also get the latest development in the quest to replace Joe Maddon as the Cubs manager. It's being reported that there are three internal candidates from inside the Cubs organization that will be interviewed. David Ross is one of them. He's widely believed to be the front runner at this point. Mark Loretta, who was hired last year as Joe Maddon's bench coach, and Will Venable, the team's first base coach, son of former major leaguer Max Venable. Will played in the majors with San Diego Padres, Ivy League educated. The youngest of the three internal candidates.
I was going to say, didn't he just retire?
And a guy that I think would fit in. East Coast education, really smart guy, kind of up Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer's alley, but it's widely regarded that David Ross is the leader in the clubhouse at this point. We'll get Chris's thoughts on that. Mitchell Trubisky and more. Stick around. Chris Emma is with us next. The 5 o'clock hour on the way.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
It's pretty easy right now. The road to the World Series starts tonight with the NL wildcard game between the Brewers and Nationals. Coverage at 7:30 Eastern, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Brandon Woodruff, Max Scherzer. Woodruff's pitched in only two games since returning from a strained oblique that kept him out nearly 2 months. Scherzer, a three-time Cy Young Award winner. The advantage in starting pitching is one reason the Nationals win tonight, in the opinion of ESPN's Doug Glanville.
The starters are excellent, and they have two big guns, Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg. And I think you might even see both of them in the game today. So when you look at that, what they can do, they can prevent that bullpen from being in the weakest spot by both these guys being able to take the team deeper in the ballgame where they have less bullpen activity.
Our Doug Glanville, the Nats will have Strasburg ready in relief. Washington's bullpen 29th in MLB and ERA in the regular season. Tonight's winner advances to face the Dodgers in the NLDS. A's will start left-hander Sean Manaea in tomorrow's AL wildcard game against the Rays. Tampa Bay previously announced its starter would be Charlie Morton.
Coming up Wednesday, NFL Week 4 is in the book, so it's time for my quarter poll rankings. And should one team with a superstar quarterback leave him on the shelf and stick with a hot hand? Plus all of the Major League Baseball postseason action. Go look and win go Wednesday. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust since 2004.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, online at KGYMradio.com. Welcome back in the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight as Major League Baseball's postseason gets underway with the National League Wild Card in Washington. American League Wild Card tomorrow between the A's and the Rays. You heard the SportsCenter update there. Sean Manaea getting the start for the Athletics. Sean Manaea pitched for Iowa baseball coach Rick Heller at Indiana State before being drafted into the pro ranks. Should be a good game tomorrow. Should be a great game tonight. Max Scherzer and Brandon Woodruff, the pitching matchup. We ask you at KGYMradio.com today, who wins and advances to take on the Dodgers? Our postseason predictions on the way tonight at 5:30. But first, as promised, we bring aboard Chris Emma of 670 WSCR in Chicago. Plenty to discuss with Chris. We'll get to Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears' trip to London in a little bit. But, Chris, interesting times in Chicago. No baseball, no postseason baseball for the first time in 4 years. But a big news story. I know you were covering the news conference with Theo Epstein yesterday. The search for the Cubs' new manager is underway. And is it anybody but David Ross at this point?
You know, it's become a tradition now, the annual accountability session from Theo Epstein. Yesterday's went 80 minutes, which topped last year's, I believe, 77. So, look, Theo does not want to be doing this. He'd love to be sitting there talking about a World Series championship team instead of a team that went 84-78, fell apart in September, and didn't make the playoffs. I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around, but it starts with him. And I appreciate the fact that he is the leader of this team, this organization, would stand and sit there for 80-plus minutes and say, here's where I'm at fault, here's how this thing's going to get right. There's a lot of different things that are going to happen this offseason, a lot of change to come. The first, of course, was not renewing Joe Maddon's contract. At this point, it's going to be really interesting hire what they do and with which direction they go. David Ross is certainly a candidate. I think Mark Loretta might be a strong candidate, perhaps even a stronger candidate. Will Venables is another in-house candidate the Cubs have confirmed. And then there's some interesting names on the outside. Raul Ibanez has popped up as a name. Joe Girardi's out there. A lot of interesting ideas. I think it's probably still going to be Mark Loretta, who was brought on by the Cubs as a Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer picked bench coach for Joe Maddon. So Look, I mean, he's been on the bench by Madden's side with this team the last year. He knows some of the shortcomings and some of the issues they've had, but he's also got a terrific relationship with the front office. He's somebody who's been poised for this kind of role for a while, and if he's not picked by the Cubs, he might end up in San Diego. So it's an interesting chance for the Cubs, but I don't really know if I love the David Ross dynamic. And he's one of my favorite athletes that I've ever covered in this town, but the issue is that I think he's probably too close to some of these players. I don't know if they're looking for somebody a little bit more rigid from Joe Maddon if David Ross is that guy.
When you look at Theo Epstein, besides the manager search, what must happen for this franchise to open that championship or playoff window back up?
That's the interesting question, is what shape and form is this offseason going to take? You mentioned the championship window, but the way Theo Epstein is looking at it now is two championship windows. He's looking at the group they have right now and this opportunity through some of the expiring contracts in 2021, but he's also looking at 2022 and beyond. What Theo Epstein wants to accomplish this offseason, based on what I heard from him yesterday, is bridging the two gaps. It's bridging the now with the future and making sure there is no let up and no gap year in between winning. He wants to sustain winning for the next decade. The way Theo Epstein sees this, and you know, he used the term reckoning last year. The reckoning came. The reckoning was disastrous by Cubs standards. 84 wins is a very successful season by a lot of standards, but it was a tremendous failure for the Cubs. So what Theo Epstein wants to do now is use the lessons of this season, and particularly with the organization, some of these players, make this the year where they don't make the playoffs, but make it the next, I don't know, 7 to 10 years, whatever it may be. So now the goal is, how do they go about this? And the thing you're going to hear a lot about this offseason, you're going to hear a lot of rumors, a lot of reports, a lot of ideas, is trading Chris Bryant or trading Javier Baez, potentially trading Wilson Contreras, and getting a Hall of Prospects back that becomes your core in 2022 and beyond. The idea is you're cutting some costs that are going to hit you down the road in terms of arbitration years, and then those massive contracts you're going to have to pay at the end of the 2021 season. But you're also starting to build a core for moving forward, you know, that 2022 window that extends beyond. So there's a lot of goals and a lot of different things that Theo Epstein has in place that he wants to accomplish. But the idea is correcting some of the flaws of 2018, restructuring the organization, streamlining things better so prospects have a better chance to be successful, and at the same time, you're reshaping the major league level where you can come back next season as a contender, but you're not sacrificing things for the future.
Chris Emma with us of 670 WSCR, the Score in Chicago. Cubs fans fell in love with Nicholas Castellanos after the trade deadline acquisition from the Tigers. We had Mark Gonzalez on with us recently, who said it would take significant financial gymnastics to sign the Scott Boras client and bring him back. Do you see Theo Epstein making an effort to do so?
I see him making an effort, but I don't know how much of an effort that's going to be. I mean, unless Nick Castellanos is willing to give the Cubs a major discount, and Scott Boras clients don't tend to give discounts, I don't see him coming back. It was the cost of success that he brought for this team, which unfortunately for Epstein and the Cubs went wasted, but not going to make it in the playoffs. But he played himself into a major contract. The numbers were there before, just not the power. He was a almost near 300 level hitter. He was a doubles guy. Had a lot of success even in that canyon of a ballpark that is Detroit. But he showed when he can get to a new ballpark, play at a place like Wrigley Field, he can not only boost his power, but he can make everybody better, make an impact on the entire team. Nick Castellanos earned a lot of money for himself. So, you know, unless you're able to move the contract of a Jason Hayward or somebody like that, you're not going to be able to pay Nick Castellanos. And that's really too bad because he was an ideal fit for this team.
What about a guy like Kyle Schwarber, who has brought his value back up with a career season that he had this year? Do you think that the Cubs, if they can get a deal where they maybe hoped that they could a couple years ago and didn't act, that they would jump on that type of deal?
I don't know. It's a really interesting one, right? I mean, In theory, yes. It's somebody who has higher value now, who showed, you know, his numbers are comparable to Nick Castellanos from the time Castellanos came aboard at the end of July. I mean, Schwarber had a terrific end of the season. But when Theo Epstein talks about one of the most important and notable things he said in that 80 minutes of press conference yesterday was admitting the fault of his belief in the 2016 team. As he put it, he said he believed that team had an unstoppable group of players that would lead this team into success. And he spent 2017, 2018, and then 2019 supplementing that group, giving up assets, young players, trading guys who were blocked at other positions because he believed in this group so strongly. And obviously it backfired. I mean, the results are there, and the downfall since winning a championship in 2016 is clear. It was because of belief in all these players in the core, but in particular, a guy like Schwarber is a perfect example. Theo Epstein made this guy the fourth overall pick when nobody else would take him that highly. There were other better candidates on the board. That was Theo Epstein's "I'm going to show you guys how smart I am" pick. That was a personal pick for Theo Epstein, and it hasn't produced at the level he expected. I mean, Schwarber's been a quality major league player. He was a key part of winning the World Series in 16, but I think when you look at the entire body of work, it was probably a mistake picking him that high and a mistake standing by him when there were offers out there early in his career. So that's going to be a true litmus test to what Theo Epstein sees and what he's really willing to move. If there's an offer out there for Kyle Schwarber, we might not know about it ever, but if there's an offer that's really good and he should take, is he willing to pull the trigger on that? I don't know right now. It's going to be fascinating.
How about the other baseball team in Chicago this offseason? What's the big question facing Rick Hahn this winter?
Yeah, it's the other side of the coin, right? It's how much are they going to be able to spend? What are they going to be able to do? When the White Sox missed out on Manny Machado late last February, Rick Hahn said, "We are extremely disappointed." I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, "We're extremely disappointed, but this money is going to be spent. It's going to be used. And this is the time to do it." This 2019 for the White Sox, despite 72 wins, was a success because they were able to identify a young core with which they can move forward. And that was the key and the purpose of this season. They have an ace in Lucas Giolito, young emerging pitchers. They have the AL batting title, batting king in Tim Anderson. They have the RBI leader in Jose Abreu, who had a terrific season. They have a young player, Eloy Jimenez, who really made strides. His numbers from August on are terrific, and that's the kind of player they expect him to be. So now you spend. We talked about, right, just a moment ago with Theo Epstein, the faults he made in supplementing around this core. Well, the White Sox have a ton of money to supplement this group, and they have the results that show some promising stuff. They're right to spend and go out and make some moves. They need some top-of-the-line pitchers to go with Giolito. Make your move at Gerrit Cole if you can. Put that big offer on the table and see if you can get him. If you go somewhere else, fine. Add some quality major league pitchers. But the guy I think they're going to be aggressive going after this offseason is J.D. Martinez, the Boston Red Sox slugger, a guy who's set to make a good amount of money here. He's the bat they need in this lineup. He's the designated hitter who solidifies and fortifies the rest of this lineup and everybody in it. That would be a home run addition for what the White Sox are. As they look at this 2020, 2021, 2022, these 3 years, you think if things go right and these young players emerge the way you hope, you're out there contending and potentially winning a championship. Somebody like J.D. Martinez really enhances that opportunity.
Chris, let's move to the NFL. The Bears are 3-1. They're at the top of the NFC North, and the defense has been outstanding. The offense has had its ups and downs. Mitchell Trubisky is hurt. Chase Daniel came in and led this team to victory over the Minnesota Vikings. Like I said, a very interesting start. How would you assess this team after four games?
You know, I think if you were to tell me 3-1, I'd say that probably sounds about right. It's been a fascinating 3-1. It's been a really interesting team to be around so far. This defense is elite. This defense is one of the best, and I think it's probably the best in football. I think you start talking if they can sustain this historically dominant defense. The way they're playing is terrific. But it comes down to the other side of the ball. And what we've seen, that they're not able to blow anybody out. They're not winning big because there's a lot of questions about this offense, a lot of questions about the quarterback. I mean, Mitchell Trubisky, this injury, it looks like it might not be something that lingers too long. I think he's likely out for Sunday, but I'm not even so sure about that anymore. We're going to see what happens when he comes back and what he's able to put together. Chase Daniel is probably the better option for running this offense because he runs these plays the way Matt Nagy draws them up. He knows this offense so well. He's a savvy, trusted, confident, veteran quarterback who's able to execute things to Nagy's liking. He's able to handle this offense to perfection, run it efficiently, protect the football, and give you a chance to win. And when you have that defense on the other side of the football, you don't question whether you're going to be able to hold the other offense. So the Bears are in a good position with Chase Daniel. Once Trubisky comes back, whatever that may be, you start resurfacing those questions about what he is as a quarterback, the caliber of player he's going to be. It's a fascinating dynamic. I can't remember who described it this way, but the perfect way to really discuss this team, it's like every Bears team combined into one. It's the way that the Bears have operated for much of their 100-year existence, is dominant defense, questions at quarterback. The backup comes in, he's more popular, he's more polished. It's every Bears storyline we've ever seen at this point. I'm really fascinated to see where this goes.
Matt Nagy's been criticized a little bit for his play calling. Do you think that's deserved?
Not really. I mean, it's on the quarterback. I keep coming back to it. I mean, you know, yes, Nagy should have run the ball a little bit more in that first game. I think David Montgomery has not revealed himself as the kind of player the Bears have hoped yet. I mean, he's averaging, I believe, 3.3 yards per carry. He's not showing the kind of big play abilities that I think they really expected would come with that vision and the ability to make guys miss. And you've seen flashes of it, but not the consistent product. But it's on the quarterback to open up this offense because Montgomery's not going to get any rushing lanes if a defense knows Trubisky can't beat them deep. Chase Daniel is not going to beat them deep. He's going to dump the ball off, take care of the football, and run things within the 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. So defenses are able to cheat in on somebody like David Montgomery. The Bears have not been able to truly get him established. And Nagy knows when Trubisky's out there, he's limited in what he can call and the way he can try to attack a defense. So if Matt Nagy was still Patrick Mahomes' play caller, this offense would look a lot different. It would look a lot more explosive. The numbers would certainly be there because he got a top-caliber quarterback, but the Bears don't have that right now.
When Mitchell Trubisky does come back, assuming the injury isn't too severe, he's playing for his job the rest of the season, right? For at least going into next year.
In terms of... Yeah, that's the interesting question. I mean, I think the belief and the Bears, frankly, their hope was that Trubisky would go out, fight it up this season, and then you're talking about the Jared Goff, Carson Wentz type contract. But Trubisky hasn't done that. He hasn't lit it up. He hasn't shown he deserves that contract. Now you're talking about the unfortunate parallel, but the Blake Bortles contract of that bridge, that, you know, 3-year deal, which allows you to get out of it at any point, whatever you need. It's going to be a fascinating discussion. I mean, I think when I last spoke to you was right before the Bears took the field for that game against Green Bay, and you said, you know, what's it going to be like if they lose? I said, I don't know. It was chaos. The city was on fire. People were angry. And it started with the quarterback. It started with Mitchell Trubisky because he's not only failed to take that step forward, he's taken a step back. The confidence is lacking. His ability to process a defense has dramatically regressed. And these are all the key things that were supposed to lead into success. So I don't know. The other question that goes with it is how willing are the Bears and Ryan Pace in particular willing to be in accepting Trubisky's shortcomings? They gave him every excuse last year, but Trubisky failing and struggling at times without any excuses is new. So how do the Bears handle this and process it? For now, a quarter of the way through the season, they've been protecting him. They've been declining to say anything critical of him. They're still believing in him, according to their words. But, you know, you see the way the playbook has been scaled back, and you see some of the inner details and the concerns that they have. It's there, and it's real. So I'm not quite sure what's going to happen this offseason or what the future is going to hold for Mitch Trubisky, but his struggles are still very new, very fresh, and extremely concerning for the Bears.
Before we let you go, Chris, the Blackhawks and Bulls, who's in for the more interesting season?
It's the Bulls, right? I mean, the fact that they came out, their management came out yesterday and said the goal of the playoffs was something, just throw a parade for that alone. I mean, this team's been so unbearable to watch the last several seasons. And the young guys that you were counting on, you know, continuously were getting hurt. The inconsistencies are revealing themselves. The growing pains have been tough. So, you know, after several seasons of building this core, trusting the players involved, here it is now. The Bulls are trying to contend. They're actively trying to win. You know, the Blackhawks have some intrigue, certainly. They have a good young roster, but their goal to make the playoffs is not as much of a long shot. Let me put it this way. The Blackhawks have a little bit of a tougher road to make the playoffs. The Bulls, if everything goes right and the way this core can click, making the playoffs would be a great success, of course, but it's something that could be the foundation for their future. So it's going to be two interesting dynamics with those teams, but I'm excited for the winter sports to start up. I really am.
Chris Emma, 670 WSCR in Chicago. We appreciate the time as always. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
And there you have it. He thinks that Mark Loretta is the leader in the clubhouse for the Cubs gig over David Ross.
Interesting.
Mitchell Trubisky comments.
I will say this, though. I could tell Chris is a little under the weather there. I feel bad for him having to be under the weather in mass chaos in the city of Chicago as far as the sports scene right now.
Yeah, I don't think the city was burning after the Bears lost to Green Bay. I think they took care of Mrs. O'Leary's cow over 100 years ago, but I can certainly understand why people would be a little apprehensive about it. And now here we are, 3 weeks later, and they're tied with the Packers atop the division, and they're going to London for a game that they should win and win easily against the Raiders. I like the swagger shown by Khalil Mack today. He was asked if he was going to get to take in any of London's historic sites, if he was going to see them, and his response was, no, they're going to see me. That's 1985 Bears-level swagger right there. But he's not their problem. The defense has not been the problem for
awesome.
The Bears early this season. It's figuring, and you heard Chris say what a lot of people have said, and you alluded to it yesterday. The offense for Chicago looks a little crisper with Chase Daniel at the helm. Not to say that he's the answer long-term, but he understands what Matt Nagy is looking for in that offense, seemingly a little bit better than Mitchell Trubisky.
Like, way better. And that's the problem right now. And Chris said that Matt Nagy and the coaching staff has come out and said they're so confident in Mitch Trubisky, and they still believe in him. A coach, of course, is going to come out and say that. That this happens around the country, not only in the NFL, but in college football. When the quarterback's not very good, the coach will come out to the media and say, oh, well, I still believe in him. Don't necessarily pay attention to that. Pay attention to how the coach uses him on Sunday. And it is very clear that Matt Nagy does not believe in him. That Matt Nagy is scared to death that every time Mitchell Trubisky drops back, he's going to not process the read that he wants him to make and throw the ball to the wrong team. And he doesn't have that with Chase Daniel. As limited as Chase is, his arm is not good enough to be an NFL starting quarterback. But he's going to make the right read, and he's going to get the ball where it is designed to go. And that's not something that you're confident in whenever number 10 is under center.
5:25, we are closing in on the halfway point of a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM. Kyle's going to bring you a big board coming up in just a few minutes, and then Alex and I will get to our Major League Baseball postseason predictions. Who's going to win this year's World Series? It begins tonight with the National League wildcard game. You'll hear it right here on KGYM as the Washington Nationals play host to the red-hot but Christian Yelich-less Milwaukee Brewers. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We'll hear from Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz, some of the highlights of his weekly media conference coming up tonight at 6:05 inside Words with Ferentz, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. More of the program and the Major League Baseball postseason predictions that you just cannot live your life without when we return after this.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinics October 3rd in Coralville or October 10th at their Cedar Rapids location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP Clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro, careprohealthservices.com.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes.
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes.
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Defining sports culture, piece by piece. The rhythm of the running game. The pulse of the passing attack. The riffs and reps of each play. The majesty of putting it all together. Every sport needs a great soundtrack. Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
5:30, we welcome you back in. Todd and Alex with you until 7 o'clock tonight. A third member of the team with us in the studio as well on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. That would be our producer, Kyle Mann. Three times a day on the show, he brings you up to speed on what's going on in the sports world locally with Big Board updates presented by Alexander Lumber. You can visit them in Iowa City at their two locations. The actual location on 420th Street, not too far from the Sinclair gas station, or the Interiors showroom, Answers by Alexander on South Gilbert Street. Here's Kyle.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City, and for what feels like the first time this season, he offered some good news as it pertains to Iowa's health concerns. Alaric Jackson's back on the depth chart this week and sounds likely to play, possibly even start. Kevon Merriweather's likely going to be healthy and available, although it sounds like Jack Kerner has taken the reins of the starting gig, and Julius Brents will also be available, although Michael Ojemudia and DJ Johnson will start at the corner. Matt Campbell didn't have quite as good a news for Iowa State fans. First of all, Jaquan Bailey's doubtful for this weekend after suffering a lower leg injury against Baylor. Obviously, a huge blow to that front seven, forcing the team to at least consider moving freshman Will McDonald back to defensive end. Colin Newell has already missed three games with a knee injury, but Campbell did say he's getting closer and is questionable for this week. Two guys who are feeling good are Kenny Anwangu and Tariq Milton, who both sound like they'll be at full strength. Another school in our state, though, had the most devastating injury news of the day, and that was Grinnell College, which announced today that it has already suffered enough injuries that it's going to be withdrawing from competitive play through the rest of the season. Carson King's Venmo finally closed at midnight last night, closing the door on what turned into one of the most successful accidental charity campaigns in the history of mankind. The final total that he raised came out to $2.95 million, all that to be donated to the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. Tonight after the show on all three KGYM frequencies, we're starting October with a little playoff baseball. The Brewers are in Washington, D.C. for the NL wildcard game, and they'll have Brandon Woodruff throwing against Nationals ace Max Scherzer. We're going to be your home for playoff baseball until a champion is crowned.
Somebody on the text line was asking earlier for thoughts on Grinnell canceling its football season. They've had a rash of injuries this year, and the athletic department says that in keeping with the school's mission statement about taking into account the health and safety of its players, that the prudent thing to do at this point is to not put the remaining players in a position where they would have to play too many minutes or be overmatched and themselves face injury. I can't find any fault with that. I don't think it's any indication that football as we know it is in trouble. I certainly think there are bigger issues or stories that point to that being the storyline. When you've got 4A high schools that can't field JV teams because they don't have enough players going out, that to me is a sign that there may be a problem with the future of the sport. But one school in particular, especially at the level that Grinnell plays at, forfeiting the remainder of its season because of a rash of injuries, I don't think that's indicative of a major storyline in football.
Well, I think that the problem there is they only had 39 players on their roster, which is
to begin with, exactly.
To begin with. And that tells you right now sort of where the sport is at the lower levels of college football. And there is a sort of a concern that it can erode from the bottom to the top. And it's not going to be something that happens very quickly, but numbers are down. That is the current reality of the situation. It's not new. It's been going on now for a few years at the high school level, at the lower levels of college football. And I do think that we're going to continue to see stories like this more often moving forward.
Okay, let's move on to what we've been hyping for no apparent reason throughout the first 90 minutes of the program today, but the Major League Baseball postseason does officially get underway tonight with a National League wildcard game, which will be airing here on KGYM once we are off the airwaves. The Nationals playing host to the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's take a look at the postseason as it's laid out before us and figure out where we think everything is headed this postseason. I think the obvious place to start is with the wildcard games. The American League wildcard game tomorrow between the A's and the Rays. We'll get to that in a moment. But tonight, do you see the Brewers going to Washington and facing Max Scherzer down in his home stadium with the prospect of Steven Strasburg or Patrick Corbin pitching out of the bullpen and continuing the relatively hot streak they were on at the end of the season, the Rockies series excluded?
I would have said yes, but then I did see the aforementioned Rockies series and what they looked like when it really mattered and when the lights were the brightest. I like Washington. Now, I've said this before, and it has bitten me in the rear end, and it is always seeming like Washington is finding a way to screw things up, they always have that roster. You're like, man, if they could just put it together, look at that. Look at how they're built. Look at their pitching staff. Look at their lineup. I like Washington getting into the NLDS, though.
I'm going to go with the Nationals here as well. I don't think their lineup is at full strength tonight, but I think they've got a player in Juan Soto that can change the game with one swing of the bat. And for as up and down as Max Scherzer has been at times this season, I think he's such an intense guy that with the postseason arriving tonight, I think the switch gets flipped, and you're going to see vintage Max Scherzer tonight. Brandon Woodruff is good. He had a solid season for Milwaukee. The Brewers have the better bullpen, and that's why I think if they've got any chance tonight, they've got to knock Scherzer out of the ball game. But it's all hands on deck, and I think Davey Martinez is going to turn to one of those aforementioned starters, whether it's the lefty Patrick Corbin or whether it's Steven Strasburg. They're treating this as the last game of the season, that they need to win it in order to advance. And I think when you've got a raccoon treed, it's not necessarily smooth sailing at that point. You know, the battle is not over. And I'll go with Washington here. The game that I'm having a hard time figuring out is the one tomorrow in Oakland. The A's are throwing Sean Manea against Tampa Bay. And I actually like Tampa Bay to pull the upset here. If you heard Cal Eldred on the gym class earlier today, you heard he's a big fan of Charlie Morton, the announced starter for Tampa. Morton was on the Astros recently. Pretty good starting pitcher who doesn't get the attention that he maybe warrants in baseball circles. If he's going well, I think Tampa can advance.
I had Tampa as well. I was interested to see who the A's were going to throw out there, whether it was going to be Manea or Mike Fiers, but it had to be a tough decision to make. I just, once again, Oakland in the postseason, it never tends to end very well. I'll take Tampa.
We'll stay in the American League because I think there's a tremendous amount of interest in this series here regionally with a lot of Twins fans in the area. They have faced the New York Yankees in the postseason more often than not, and the Yankees have been their kryptonite almost every single time. Is this the year that the Twins get past the Yankees? 319-366-1600. You can let us know on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. I say no. I went with the Yankees in filling out my bracket. I just think that these are the two teams that have hit the most home runs in a baseball season ever. The Twins got the Yankees by one, 308 home runs to 307, if I recall correctly. But I think pitching is going to decide the series, not home runs or bombas, as the Twins. Like, am I wrong here? Do the Twins win this series?
No, they don't. Sorry, doom and gloom. There are three regional teams in the playoffs, and their fans are not going to be very happy with me today, foreshadowing. The New York Yankees are going to get past this series. I know that there is a lot of questions about their pitching. I don't think it's going to matter. I still think their bullpen is great, and they have the most bats right now of anybody in the playoffs. Give me the New York Yankees to move on in four.
So the American League wildcard winner has the dubious task of staring down the Houston Astros. The Astros really seem, coming into the postseason, the odds-on favorite here. They look like a juggernaut. I can't find a weakness on this team. Maybe BJ and Marion is the biggest Astros fan I know. Maybe he knows what the weakness is. I don't see it. I see a tremendous starting rotation. I see a great lineup. Carlos Correa being injured right now is a little bit of a concern, but they've got depth. They've got a guy. If you haven't heard of Yordan Alvarez yet, I think you will this postseason. He's actually my pick for World Series MVP. Not to get too far ahead of myself there.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I had to pick somebody other than Justin Verlander. And Yordan Alvarez is my guy there. played in the Midwest League in 2016 with Quad Cities until they had to promote him because he was hitting everything in sight. Tampa Bay, Oakland, I don't care who it is. They're not getting past the Astros here. So Astros, Yankees, is that what we're looking at here, the American League pennant?
Yeah.
And we're looking at the Astros, right?
I have the Yankees.
You have the Yankees.
Why? I just think that this team has something to prove. This team is one of those teams that all year has proven people wrong with how they have dealt with injuries. And they have a lot of those guys back. And I think that we sort of overlooked last year that super highly successful team coming out of the AL East who proved themselves all year long. And we looked at the Houston Astros and said, well, this is the best team on paper. And the Red Sox got by the Houston Astros. I think that the New York Yankees are going to do the same thing.
Okay. So that's the American League. Let's start in the National League. We already got to tonight's game between the Brewers and the Nationals. The winner of that series faces the Dodgers. Is anything slowing the Dodgers down in the divisional portion of the series?
I do think that Washington will make it a series. They'll win a game. I do like the Dodgers to get past them, though. This is, to me, Washington may be the toughest assignment for LA in the National League, but I do have the Dodgers moving on.
A series that is near and dear to your heart, your St. Louis Cardinals, the National League Central champions this season, facing what I think will be the dark horse team in all of this, the Atlanta Braves. This could be a really good series, and I think Atlanta can make a run if they get past the Cardinals. There are some people out there that feel St. Louis can win this series. Are you one of them?
No. I look at Miles Michaelis having to start in game one, and I think that the Cardinals will get the game that Jack Flaherty pitches, but their pitching depth right now outside of Miles Michaelis, their starting pitching, does not do it for me, especially against the lineup that the Braves are going to throw out there and the rotation that the Braves are going to throw out there. I think they win one game, but the Braves move on in four pretty easily, actually.
So I agree with you. I have the Braves beating the Cardinals here. If you've listened to the program all season long, you know, regardless of who was coming out of the NL Central, I wasn't high on their prospects against either a West Coast team or an East Coast team. So we're staring down the barrel of an Atlanta-Los Angeles National League Championship Series?
We are, and I think that Major League Baseball is going to get exactly what they want, a Los Angeles-New York World Series. Give me the Dodgers to get back again.
Dodgers, Yankees, a staple of the postseason in the 50s and the 70s, and I believe the 81 series too, right? I know the Dodgers were there. This is interesting. I got to be honest with you. I thought really long and hard about taking Atlanta to the World Series to serve as the sacrificial lamb for the Houston Astros. But I'm rolling with the Dodgers here. I think they've got some tremendous young arms that they have more pitching than they know what to do with. And so you've got a guy like Dustin May who winds up in the bullpen, and I think he's going to be sort of the secret weapon that they deploy as needed. Look for him coming soon to a Dodgers starting rotation near you in 2020 and beyond. I've got Houston and LA, and I'm going with the odds-on favorite, the Astros, to be your World Series champion.
I've got the Dodgers winning it all. I think that this is the year that they finally get the job done.
For the purposes of discussing this from a betting standpoint, the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside does have futures lines up, not only on the NL and AL pennants, but the World Series. And the Dodgers and Astros right now are paying 2-1. So they are the odds-on favorites. So my bracket is heavy chalk, which sometimes pays off for you in the NCAA tournament. And sometimes it's upset city. I just this is a season where I look at the teams and the matchups, and I like the favorites. The Yankees are 4-1 right now to win the World Series, followed by the Twins and Cardinals, both at 8-1. So if you're a Minnesota fan and you see some value in the team that hit the most home runs in Major League Baseball this year and you think that they're going to bomb their way to the series, 8-1 might be worth the drive down 380 South. Atlanta is currently 10-1 to win the World Series. The A's and Nationals at 18-1. The Brewers 25-1. And Tampa with the longest odds, 30-1. As far as the National League pennant goes, the Dodgers are a $1.20 favorite on the line, so you'd have to wager $1.20 to win a dollar back. Cardinals +400, followed by the Braves, the Nationals, and the Brewers. And the AL pennant, Houston is the heavy favorite there, followed by the Yankees at 2-1, the Twins at 4-1, and then the A's and the Rays have longer odds. I think this is Houston's year, and they're going to have some decisions over the next 2 years because they've got some guys that are coming and going. Garrett Cole is a free agent after this season. I think he will not be a part of the Astros rotation moving forward. You heard Chris Emma at 5 o'clock tonight suggest that maybe the White Sox could make a run at Garrett Cole. If Joe Maddon winds up as the manager of the Angels, the one thing that they desperately need is starting pitching. And if Artie Moreno can open his pocketbook to pay a manager what Joe Maddon's going to make, he can open his pocketbook and go after Garrett Cole. And they're going to try to remake their rotation on the fly and become an instant contender with the return of Shohei Ohtani next season, who can both pitch and hit. You've got the most dynamic player in the game, Mike Trout. Looking ahead, not too far, but are the Angels, if Maddon's the manager there and you get Ohtani back healthy and you get significant upgrades through free agency this offseason, with what they've got there, could they be the team to surprise everybody next year? That's all I need to know.
Maybe. But
what was that noise again? Okay.
Do you think they could be?
Angels Padres 2020 World Series.
We're already looking ahead to next
year's World
Series.
The way that it works, right? They'll have odds on the 2020 World Series after the last out is recorded at Minute Maid Park, after the Astros finish off whatever lamb gets led to slaughter.
So you think they're going to walk through this? You think that this is their time to shine?
I don't see a team that's in the same league as the Astros. And now there are a number of teams that are in the American League that are a part of the postseason, but they're not in the same league as the Astros. A rotation in a 5-game or a 7-game series that features Justin Verlander, Zach Greinke, and Garrett Cole, with Wade Miley there as a left-hander if you need him. I'm sorry, you're not getting past 2 Justin Verlander starts and multiple outings from Zach Greinke or Garrett Cole. Especially with the offense. 319-366-1600. This Twins-Yankees series, though, I think is going to draw a lot of interest locally. Twins fans, I've never seen so much defeatism from a fan base as when they saw that they were facing the Yankees again. If there's any year to get over the hump and knock the Yankees off, I think this is it. But the bats are going to have to show up, and so is the pitching. Jose Berríos has been a little bit of a roller coaster. They don't have as good a starting pitching as the Yankees do, in my opinion. And in the postseason, I'm going to put my money on starting pitching. That's where it begins and ends for me, and that's why I like Max Scherzer and the Nationals over the Brewers tonight.
So which series do you think is going to be the most interesting in the first round?
If it's not the Twins and the Yankees, it's going to be the Braves and the Cardinals.
I'll let you have the Twins and the Yankees if you want to.
Okay, you got a better answer for me?
No, I was going to say, if you believe it's the Twins and Yankees, then I'll let you answer that one, because I think that the Braves and the Cardinals is that next
step. You and I are on the same page. You and I are on the same page.
It's so chalky, it seems like, right? Which means that the Dodgers, the Braves, the Yankees, or the Astros, one of those two teams is one of those four teams is going to lose in the first round.
Okay, boy, if the Dodgers are out, if they somehow get knocked off by the Brewers or the Nationals, then it's game on.
All right, so of the higher seeds, over under one half of those teams losing in the first round. So will one of them lose in the first round?
Of the four, the highest seed?
The Dodgers, the Braves, the Yankees, and the Astros.
I have them all advancing on my bracket, but I think the odds would say no somewhere along the way. I mean, that...
I hope you so, always for look Major League Baseball's sake.
You always look at a parlay, and every time I've filled out a parlay card, I've said, man, this can't lose. And you go with the heavy favorites, and somewhere along the way, somebody's going to stub their toe. So I just, the odds say that the four teams all getting through unscathed, probably long. And I guess I would look for the Twins-Yankees there, because I think the season series was 4-2. The Yankees got them 4-2, but anything can happen in the postseason. We'll keep an eye on that. And of course, we'll have the Twins postseason games right here on KGYM as well. We'll bring you as much postseason baseball as we possibly can, beginning with the National League wild card tonight, the Brewers and the Nationals from Nationals Park. It's Max Scherzer taking on Brandon Woodruff. And by the way, Christian Yelich is hinting that if the Brewers were to somehow make it to the World Series, it's a little bit ahead of his timeline, but he could possibly try a la Kyle Schwarber in 2016.
What was his injury? A broken kneecap?
A broken kneecap.
He's going to... Okay. Yes, I know. 25-66. I had to make that noise again like I got kneed in the gut. That doesn't sound pleasant.
Cheddar thinks the Brewers' magic ends tonight. Well... with a name like Cheddar, we could have assumed you were a Brewers fan. It's got Wisconsin written all over it, but no Yelich. Ryan Braun is hurt, and you're going up against two of the better starters in the game, because I think you're going to see Steven Strasburg or Patrick Corbin tonight, one of the two. Davey Martinez out of the Joe Maddon coaching tree. This is a guy who was maybe going to be fired a third of the way into the season this year, and... here the Nationals are on the brink of advancing in the postseason. The baseball season is a long and winding journey. You got a manager that everybody thought was going to be fired, he is in the postseason, and you got Joe Maddon, who led the Cubs to the World Series in 2016, out there looking for work right now in 2019. 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line available for you. Words with Ference on the way in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick timeout and tell you more of what's ahead when we return after this.
I'm Amelia, and I'm a teenager now. But when I was 5, the final boy wizard book was released, and so was Windows Server 2008. Harry and Hermione are still awesome, but Microsoft is ending support for Server 2008 R2. So if your business is still using Windows Server 2008 R2, you're going to need more than a spell to stay up to date. Fortunately, Network Computer Solutions is like having your very own wizard. Make sure you get in touch with them soon to update your Windows software.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Save big money on your fall home improvement projects now during Menards' Oktoberfest sale. Coordinate the look of your home with complimenting finishes and styles from Schlage Lock Sets. Menards has a wide variety of styles from interior doorknobs to exterior lock sets. Right now, the Sacramento Hall and Closet Passage Lever in a satin nickel finish is just $19.99. Save on all of your projects during Menards' Oktoberfest sale. Going on now through October 12th.
Save big money at Menards.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield, and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that
may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
5:58, welcome back in a Tuesday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Heavy on Hawkeye football coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. We will hear some of the highlights of Kirk Ferentz's weekly news conference. We call it Words with Ferentz. It's brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. We'll get you a big board update as well from Alexander Lumber and our producer Kyle Mann. And if you watched that Monday Night Football game last night, and it was a clunker between the Steelers and the Bengals, hard not to notice that Jalen Samuels may be emerging as a little bit of a bigger option for the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger out of the equation.
It's possible, but if the Steelers think that they can go into future games and have Mason Rudolph play like that, or limit Mason Rudolph like that and not let him throw the ball beyond 2 yards down the field, they're going to get their rear ends kicked against anybody with a pulse. So I am looking at that offense right now, and I don't want anything to do with anybody on that offense, including James Conner, including Juju Smith-Schuster, because what they put together for Mason Rudolph as far as a game plan last night is not going to win you games against good teams. It's that simple.
Jalen Samuels used in the Wildcat last night, becoming just the second player since the 1970 merger to have three pass completions, three rushing attempts, and three receptions in a game.
See, that is a great statistic. And what did I say about Mitchell Trubisky, where a coach comes out and says, I believe in him, to the media? I said, pay attention to what they actually do, what they actually allow their quarterback to do. And Mason Rudolph did not get a chance. He threw one pass, I think, beyond 15 yards downfield, and he was taken out of the, like, literally just taken out of the game, and they put Jalen Samuel in at quarterback. That tells you everything you need to know.
Rudolph was 24 of 28 for 229 yards, two scores, and no interceptions, and Mike Tomlin decided to treat that game as if it were Iowa and Middle Tennessee. Okay, Nate Stanley, you're coming to the sideline. We're going to the backups. This game is over. I can't believe, and I know they're playing without A.J. Green, I cannot believe how bad the Bengals looked.
Beyond comprehension.
That's
that
a
bad
rivalry game, and they couldn't even give the Steelers a fighting chance.
Andy Dalton. I wonder how much more football he even has left. And without A.J. Green in that offense, they really can't do anything.
Is Juju Smith-Schuster still a number one wide receiver? With Mason Rudolph at quarterback?
No. I don't think anybody is. I know with that you look at the stats and it looks decent. Well, when you watch the game, it tells you a completely different story. And James Conner had 8 catches last night. Jalen Samuels had 8 catches last night. The two running backs combined for 16 catches.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We have hit on Major League Baseball's postseason. We've touched on last night's Monday Night Football game, and we have hit Iowa football from a couple different angles today, including John Bonenkamp of Hawkeye Maven. We will hear from Kirk Ferentz himself. It's Words with Ferentz. It kicks off the 6 o'clock hour next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
SBN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lucy. Here's what's happening. Major League Baseball's postseason begins tonight with the Nationals hosting the Brewers in the NL Wild Card game. Coverage in 30 minutes here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Outfielder Lorenzo Cain in the starting lineup for Milwaukee despite an ankle injury, and that's a big plus for the Brewers, notes ESPN MLB analyst David Ross.
This guy is a catalyst for them. He's in the seventh hole, been battling an ankle injury before he got hurt the other night. Same ankle, different injury. This guy is basically playing on one leg, but you know what? It is October. You need your stars out there. Him and Mike Moustakas have the most postseason experience of anybody in this group, 41 games apiece. You want guys like that in the lineup this time of year.
Our David Ross on the Hill. It's Brandon Woodruff for Milwaukee, Max Scherzer for Washington. The winner tonight moves on to face the Dodgers in the NLDS. The A's announced that lefty Sean Manaea will start tomorrow's AL Wild Card game against the Rays. He missed most of the season recovering from a shoulder injury. Tampa Bay previously named Charlie Morton its starter for the game. The NHL suspended Sharks winger Evander Kane 3 games for making contact with a linesman during Sunday's preseason game. It happened during Kane's altercation with Golden Knights defenseman Derek Engelin. NFL ESPN's Dan Graziano reports Bears linebacker Roquan Smith is dealing with a personal issue off the field, and that could keep him out for an indefinite period of time. WNBA Finals, Connecticut and Washington meet in game number 2 tonight. Tip-off in an hour on ESPN TV. Mystics have a 1-0 series lead.
Coming up Wednesday, NFL Week 4 is in the book, so it's time for my quarter poll rankings. And should one team with a superstar quarterback leave him on the shelf and stick with a hot hand? Plus all of the Major League Baseball postseason action. Go look and we go Wednesday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
6:03, welcome back in. Hour number 3 of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio and fine local programming like this show, as well as the gym class. You can hear Scott Unash and Mark Dukes from 3 until 4, Monday through Friday, here on 1600 AM. They are brought to you daily by Third Base Brewery, just like KGYM, Third Base Brewery, locally owned and operated right here in Cedar Rapids, a fine place to grab a bite to eat or watch the big game. Third Base Brewery, the presenting sponsor of the gym class, Monday through Friday here on KGYM. We've got more ground to cover tonight, including momentarily hearing from Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz, who spoke to the media earlier today in Iowa City. The Hawkeyes 4-0 as they head to Ann Arbor to take on the Michigan Wolverines. That's an 11 o'clock kickoff this weekend on Fox. It's homecoming for the Wolverines, and the Hawkeyes pointing out in their game notes this week, Iowa's won its last 2 homecoming trips to Michigan. They beat the Wolverines 30-27 in 2002 and 38-28. In 2010, the Hawkeyes also throwing a little shade at Michigan, pointing out that since 2001, Iowa has 152 wins and 5 top 10 finishes nationally, while Michigan has 151 wins and 4 top 10 finishes nationally. Does Iowa put another notch in its belt this weekend against Michigan? It has won 5 of the last 6 meetings between the two programs, not all against Jim Harbaugh. Only one of them actually has come against Jim Harbaugh.
They have a good opportunity to. I think that they probably should. I know that Michigan right now is the favored team, but I don't believe in them. I don't think they're very good really on either side of the ball, especially offensively. And I think that what they do feeds into what Iowa's strength is as a defense. I don't think that they have the passing game, despite the fact that they thought they had their quarterback, and despite the fact that they think that they have good wide receivers, it hasn't worked. It has not been clicking. They have not been sharp. And what I saw of them against Wisconsin, they look lost in the passing game, and they can't run the football, and they're one-dimensional. And it just comes down to Iowa executing and closing out a game. They're not going to blow Michigan out. It is going to be a close game. And can they make the plays down the stretch that are needed to win and start anew in 2019 and make sure that the ghosts of last year and late in games against good teams don't return? It starts this week. How many times last year you said they should have won that game? 4 times. And there are going to be plenty more of those games, and I know Iowa fans are hoping this year is a lot different.
What do we know about this team at sitting at 4-0? They got past Iowa State in a bizarre road game. That's really the biggest test so far this season. They weren't tested against Miami. Rutgers folded, and Middle Tennessee was not much of a challenge either. What do we know about this team at 4-0?
Not a whole lot.
Thank you.
Until we see them play against Michigan, against Penn State, we think that we have a good idea of what they have. Pretty solid wide receiver group, a senior quarterback who hasn't thrown an interception yet, has come close a few times, but has not thrown an interception yet. Some good running backs, an offensive line that's withstood some injuries, now gets one of their best players back, a defense that has been solid, has been snake-bitten by injuries in the secondary, but maybe he's getting healthy. But we don't know what they're going to look like in this type of setting, which is why it's exciting to find out at 11 a.m. on Saturday.
Well, let's go ahead and bring you some of Kirk Ferentz's highlights. The Words with Ferentz segment, presented weekly by Network Computer Solutions, the missing piece to your IT puzzle. Again, some of the highlights of Kirk Ferentz's weekly news conference centered on Iowa's trip to Ann Arbor this weekend.
You're running the ball about 56%, the same rate as you had the past 2 years. Yards per carry significantly up, yards per game is significantly up. In a nutshell, what do you see?
Well, part of it's a blocking. I think so far, 4 games into it, our line's done a pretty good job, but level of competition goes up this week, certainly. I'll also throw in our receivers. I think they're doing a good job. Brandon Smith in particular is really, doing a nice job coming in there, digging safeties out, those types of things. And then, we've talked about this pretty consistently probably since the end of spring ball. Two groups I feel good about. I think we've seen a lot of progress with our running backs and receivers, and certainly. And then you throw Goodson in there too. He's given us a little juice. But I think, all those guys have just, at least the three returning guys are playing better now than they have any time in their career, and that's really the key to success for any football team is guys moving forward and improving.
Jackson, right now, is he going to start, do you think, or is he going to be a rotational guy on Saturday?
It just depends how the week goes. I think he looked good today, and the film looked good. So as long as he can keep progressing, we'll certainly, if he's capable of starting, we'll start him. He's one of our starters. I can't say enough about the job Levi's done and everybody. We've been shifting a lot of guys around, but my guess is we'll continue to rotate the guys at least for the next couple of weeks.
Ultimately, has this been a healthy exercise as far as getting guys back and getting the experience for Levi and for the others?
Yeah, I think anytime you can survive injuries to starters and guys can go in and play and hopefully not just get by but play well, I think that's a positive certainly, because that's how you build depth, and there's no better way than game competition. You can't substitute that. So the whole trick is surviving it, and I think the offensive line's done a pretty good job of managing the bumps through the first 4 weeks, and getting AJ back will certainly help us, and hopefully we'll have a little bit more, be a more diversified group now.
Where do you think it feels like that's where the offensive line has made growth and depth? Is that shown this year so far?
It has. I mean, really, we came into the season with two proven starters up front with our two tackles, AJ and Tristan, and then we certainly felt good about Tyler Linderbaum's progress, but, the guy never played center before, and he's a second-year player. So I think we probably thought of him differently than he really was in reality. But I think those three guys, you know, we felt pretty stable about, you know, going into the season, and then, you know, what's going to happen at guard, all those kinds of things. But yeah, I think we've seen a lot of improvement and growth. Obviously, we lost Kyler, that hurt, but we'll get him back here in a couple of weeks. And but the other guys stepping up, Kallenberger, both Paulsons playing good football. Banright, I thought, played better Saturday. So, you know, it's encouraging to see some growth.
The guys out there constantly, you can tell they understand the value of possession, the value of football, turnover margin. Where did you learn that lesson, and why it's so important to football? Where does that?
I guess, you know, coming here in 1981, I just remember Coach Fry, he said, you know, before you're going to win, you can't lose games. And then Ted Marchibroda said more games are lost than won. You know, those old axioms are really true. But you look at the 81 ball club, we were not prolific offensively by any stretch of the imagination, but we had a pretty salty defense. Had the best punter in the world, not in college football, but in the world at that time, and a pretty solid kicking game. So, you know, we found a way to be successful that year, but protecting the ball is just, it's paramount. To me, it's no different than tackling well on defense. You know, if you don't do those things consistently, then you better really be more talented than every opponent you play, and that's hard to do.
Year's team so far has been really good about protecting well.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to talk too much about it, but, you know, part of it's experience and then, you know, part of it's concentration too. I think those two things really help us. And for the most part, guys touching the football, have some experience, and then, you know, guys that are in those positions. And then, you know, concentration is something everybody's capable of. So, but it's all those things have to go together, and fundamentals on top of it, but that's concentration too.
Looking at Michigan on film defensively, they like to throw a lot of different looks out there. What kind of challenges does that present for the offense in terms of game plan for them coming into Saturday?
Yeah, we played a really aggressive group last week. I mentioned that, and, you know, ditto it after the game. I mean, those guys come after you hard. And this isn't exactly the same. It's, you know, it's a different scheme and a different form of pressure, what have you. But they have a clear identity on defense, and it's worked for them very, very well. For you know, several years here right now. So going into the game, we know points are going to be really tough to come by. It's a different style than Iowa State, but, you know, Iowa State, we knew that was going to be a challenge. So going in, it's going to be a different form of a challenge here. But they've, you know, they've got really good players. They play extremely hard, and they've got a tough scheme to prepare for.
Banks and Stansy had big games when he won there, the two times he won there. Do you need that out of a quarterback in that type of environment? Do you expect that out of
I don't know if you need it, but it sure helps. You know, if your quarterback plays well, home or away, it's a good thing. And the way we're wired, that's certainly a good thing too. So, you know, Nate's a veteran guy. That experience, I think, certainly helped him on the road last time out. That was a really tough environment. Again, you know, I say people outside the state really can't appreciate it. I think people around here get it, but that's a tough place for us to play, just like I think it's tough when they come here. So, you know, that the intensity of that series and being on the road and, you know, the conditions there, that's really great preparation for playing in tough stadiums in our conference. And, again, having a veteran quarterback, I think, certainly a plus. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it's certainly a plus.
Words with Ferentz, brought to you every Tuesday throughout the football season by Network Computer Solutions, the missing piece to your IT puzzle. The Hawkeyes will probably definitely need a big game from Nate Stanley in order to beat Michigan. This is the understatement of the millennium, but if you're going to win on the road in the Big Ten, you need your quarterback to play well. That's the type of insight that people tune in to this station, and in particular this program, for right there. If you're going to win on the Big Ten, in the Big Ten on the road, you need your quarterback to play well.
Really?
I blew your mind, didn't I?
I never thought that was something that was a factor. It is for this team.
That's how
though.
I got this job. Insight like that.
I know there that a lot of people have been happy with what they've seen from Nate Stanley so far, and they should be. He's been pretty good to this point. I'm slightly pumping the brakes until I see what he can do against these Big Ten defenses that make adjustments that are able to take away a strength of this offense. Now, I think this offense is better equipped to have answers for those adjustments because they have less that they can key in on. They could, because they have more weapons than they did last year. It seemed like things were rolling right along last year, and Brandon Smith was getting involved, and TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant were getting involved, and teams started to take away TJ Hockenson, and teams started to take away Noah Fant and pay extra attention to those guys, and the offense sputtered. The offense wasn't as good as it was early in the season. Then Nate Stanley got hurt. Nate Stanley's been very good so far. He has made some mistakes, and they haven't made him pay for them. He has to avoid those moving forward because he throws some of the passes that he has so far this season, like he did against Iowa State, and the one last week against Middle Tennessee that got tipped up and caught. Michigan's not going to let him get away with that. Penn State's not going to let him get away with that. So I know that Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz are telling him that. And they're not just going through the positives of, oh, he hasn't thrown an interception yet. They have to clean up on those mistakes and in order to be successful against a really, really tough schedule the next 5 weeks.
We didn't hear him answer the one clip in particular that he was asked about Wisconsin beating Michigan, and I didn't think he really if he saw something in that game, I don't think he wanted to tip his hand there. But what did you see in that Wisconsin-Michigan game 2 weeks ago at Camp Randall Stadium, in which Wisconsin just completely de-pantsed Harbaugh on a big stage? I mean, Michigan no-showed that game.
Yeah, I saw a Wisconsin team that was way better than Michigan, and a team that knew they were way better than Michigan, and a team that went in and knew that their style of play was going to be, and what they do with the players they have, was going to be able to trounce Michigan. And an offense that didn't trust themselves, they didn't trust their quarterback. Shea Patterson got benched in that game. Dylan McCaffrey came in, then he got knocked out cold, and he's not going to be available. Shea Patterson's not 100%. I was watching Michigan and having flashbacks to Wisconsin last year, the 7-5 Wisconsin team that went to the Pinstripe Bowl. And I still am waiting for Michigan to prove me wrong, because I think that's maybe what this team is. So I'm not saying that Iowa can have the same amount of just success that Wisconsin did, running for 359 yards. But I think that they can and possibly should win this game.
This almost sounds strange to say, but is this game more important to Michigan's season than it is Iowa's?
Yes.
If you're laying the Pinstripe Bowl at their doorstep, like a cat that has caught a bird in the wild, bringing it back for its owner.
So if they lose this game, they go to 3-2. Then they move to 4-2 against Illinois. And if they are what I think they are, they're going to lose to Penn State. They will, so that's 4-3. They'll lose to Notre Dame, that's 4-4.
That game is in Ann Arbor on the 26th.
5-4 with a win over Maryland. 5-5 with a loss to Michigan State. I mean, 6-6, 7-5. Yeah, it's very important.
Indiana, at Indiana, and then the game against Ohio State, the final two games on their schedule.
It's huge for them.
But Michigan fans would never admit that, though, would they? That this game is more important to them than it is to Iowa? Just given the perception of the two programs. And again, Iowa's fighting back on that by pointing out that since 2001, Iowa has more wins and more top five finishes, top 10 finishes than Michigan. But the perception out there, Michigan fans would be completely rankled at saying that this game means more to them for their season than Iowa. Iowa can afford a loss this weekend. I don't think Michigan can. And I think you agree with me on that.
I think that Michigan can less afford a loss than Iowa can. I'm not saying that Iowa can afford a loss, but I think that they should win this game. But I can't say that enough. I think they should win this game. But Michigan has to have it.
You could have, at the beginning of the season, when they offered future lines on some of the big college games this season, you could have got 12 points in the Hawkeyes this weekend. If you, I don't like betting games that far in advance because you just never know who could be injured or who could be out. But if you're a riverboat gambler and you got the money and you can part with it 3 months ahead of time, you could have put yourself in a significantly improved position with the Hawkeyes in Ann Arbor from a betting standpoint as it stands right now. And we'll get in this tomorrow on WagerWise, presented by Riverside Casino and Golf Resort and the Elite Sportsbook. Iowa-Michigan, one of the games that we'll be focused on during that paid segment. Iowa, a 3.5-point underdog going to Ann Arbor. And if you missed Jim Brandstatter, the play-by-play voice of the Wolverines, he was on the Gym Class earlier today with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. We're going to be chatting with the color commentator, the Brandy Man's broadcast partner, Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf, on Thursday's edition of the program. Jim Brandstatter said that Jim Harbaugh is not feeling any pressure, any heat in Ann Arbor, that this is outside of the Michigan program. People are saying that he's on the hot seat, but Michigan fans are relatively content with him.
So if he goes 6-6 or 7-5, it's totally cool.
I'm not buying that. There's a ton of pressure on Harbaugh right now, isn't there?
Yeah. There's a ton of pressure coming into the year.
I don't see Michigan fans saying, you know what? Yeah, we're 3-1 right now.
We just gave up 360 yards rushing to Wisconsin. It's totally cool. We got completely trucked by Wisconsin.
But they beat Rutgers 52-0, so everything is good. Yeah, they don't think that way, nor should they.
They went to overtime against Army. They sort of slid by Middle Tennessee. Everything is fine.
We need to take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle's going to bring you a big board update brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber. And then, how much would you pay for two beers at a football game? One fan at a Dolphins game this weekend wound up being slightly overcharged for a couple beers. We'll tell you that story and more after this.
Style is certainly influenced by the times and current tastes. In fact, during Hertin and Stocker Jewelers' 70-plus years, they've seen colors, metals, and stones go in and out of vogue many times. That history gives the Dickens family a keen understanding of what's modern and fresh now, and what's great and beautiful from years past. That's why they offer estate pieces. These previously loved jewelry treasures are nicely priced, and the collection changes regularly, so there's always something new to discover. And if your own jewelry box holds a few things that don't quite suit you anymore, bring them into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers for cash or credit to use in store for something new. Come see what's sparkling in those fancy new windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Lawn legends, run with us on a John Deere X300 Select Series lawn tractor. Head to your nearest John Deere dealer and save big at the Gear Up for Fall sales event. Get $300 off X300 Select Series lawn tractors built for year-round versatility. The Gear Up for Fall sales event won't last forever, so hurry to your John Deere dealer today to find out why nothing runs like a deer. Offer ends November 1st, 2019. Some restrictions apply. See johndeere.com or participating dealers for details. Find your new John Deere at City Tractor in North Liberty or visit citytractor.com.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Kids, get your shoes on. We're leaving for school. Do you have your homework?
Yes!
Do you have your lunch?
Yes.
Do you have your backpack?
Yes!
Life is hectic. Keep it rolling smoothly with the Back to School Maintenance Special from Linder Tire. Oil change, tire and battery checks, plus more for under $35.
Have a great day, kids.
Uh-oh, Mom, I forgot my lunch.
Oh.
Linder Tire. We keep life rolling smoothly, even with a few bumps in the road.
Welcome back in, 625. Big board update on the way shortly, courtesy of Alexander Lumber. Don't forget, you can vote in our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Who wins tonight's National League wild card game and advances to take on the Dodgers? Will it be the Washington Nationals or the Milwaukee Brewers? Poll question is presented daily by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Washington, a heavy favorite at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside Casino. And taking a look at the voting results, so far it looks like about a split among most of our listeners with regard to the Brewers and the Nationals. You and I both think that the Nationals are going to win tonight. You didn't have Milwaukee, right?
No, I had Washington.
Wanted to make sure that I wrote that down. It is a 50-50 split right now, right down the middle. So your vote can swing things in favor of Milwaukee or Washington, keeping in mind that your vote will not affect the outcome of the game. Let's bring Kyle into the studio before we get to the story of the very expensive beers at the Miami Dolphins game over the weekend. Big board updates on the program brought to you by Alexander Lumber. Two locations to serve you in Iowa City, 420th Street. That's where you can find Alexander Lumber. And the Answers by Alexander showroom located on South Gilbert Street.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City, and for what felt like the first time this season, had some good news as it pertains to Iowa's health concerns. Alaric Jackson's back on the depth chart and sounds likely to play, possibly even start. Kevon Merriweather's going to be healthy and available, although it sounds like Jack Kerner's taking the reins of the starting gig, and Julius Brents will also be available, although Michael Ojemudia and DJ Johnson will start at the cornerback positions. Matt Campbell didn't have quite as good a news for Iowa State fans. First of all, Jaquan Bailey's doubtful for this weekend after suffering a lower leg injury against Baylor. That, of course, is a huge blow to that front seven, forcing the team to at least consider moving freshman Will McDonald back to defensive end from his linebacker spot. Colin Newell has already missed three games with a knee injury, but Campbell did say he's getting closer and questionable for this week. Two guys who are feeling good are Kenne Anwangu and Tariq Milton. Both those guys sound like they'll be at full strength. Another school in our state, though, had the most devastating injury news of the day. That was Grinnell College. It announced today that it's already suffered enough injuries that it's going to be withdrawing from competitive play through the rest of the season. Carson King's Venmo finally closed at midnight last night, closing the door on what turned into one of the most successful accidental charity campaigns in the history of mankind. The final total he raised came out to $2.95 million, all that to be donated to the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. Tonight after the show on all three KGYM frequencies, we're starting October with a little playoff baseball. The Brewers are in Washington, D.C. for the NL wildcard game, and they'll have Brandon Woodruff throwing against Nationals ace Max Scherzer. We're going to be your home for playoff baseball until a champion is crowned.
319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Again, your way to reach us here in the KGYM studios. We'll be here tomorrow as well. We will chat with Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. Answer your fantasy football questions with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com and bring you an opportunity to take home a fine prize inside either the 5 o'clock face-off or the 6 o'clock showdown. I think it's now the 5 o'clock face-off for the foreseeable future. That's all coming up tomorrow. And then on Thursday, we'll be at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. And LinderTire.com, stop in and join us. You can enjoy happy hour from 3 until 6 and half-price wings from 6 until close on Thursday. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but we should be enjoying Major League Baseball's postseason in its entirety on Thursday in addition to Thursday Night Football.
Thursday Night Football. Who is it this week? I think is it Seattle? Is it Seattle and Los Angeles? Is it the Rams? Yep, Rams and Seahawks. That's what I thought.
I will definitely take the under in that. I love those Thursday night unders.
49 right now.
Ugh, Nobody wants to play those games. Are you kidding me? I mentioned the story. This is fascinating to me that people are dumb enough to think that they can get away with this type of grift in 2019. There was a vendor at Sunday's Dolphins game. The Dolphins are terrible this year. I would be drinking heavily, too, if I were attending a Dolphins game. Hard Rock Stadium. That place has changed names so many times over the last 15, 20 years. A vendor was arrested for charging a man a large amount of money for two beers. How much money? $724 for two beers.
How did he think he was going to get away with that?
That's a great question. He does not appear to be, I hate to judge people on their looks, but he does not appear to be a criminal mastermind.
No. $724. So from what the story says, he had his own personal card reader?
Yes.
Which is, wow.
And if you've ever been to a sporting event or a concert, you know that vendors walking around, we live in an age in 2019 where you don't expect people to carry cash. It's just, I do when I go to a ball game for the vendors, but many places now have vendors with the ability to read a card on the spot, yeah, just because it's a cashless society. I mean, it's very rare that people spend cash. Most people, you guys take cards, right? Nathan Collier, a 33-year-old man arrested at the stadium for using his personal credit card reader to charge a fan $724 for two beers. The fan got a notification from his bank when the charge went through.
Does he not know that banks now have that fraud protection?
Which can be a pain in the rear end. That happened to me when I was in New Orleans a couple years ago for a fantasy baseball draft, and all of a sudden I went to use my card, and it didn't work. And the bank thought that it was doing me a favor by locking my card, and this was a weekend. And now I'm stuck in New Orleans, and all I have are credit cards, which I'm not using to advance to get cash, because the cash advance rates on a credit card are astronomical. And I thought, okay, I appreciate this, but I had used the card on the way to the airport, and then it was, I appreciate the effort. Thanks for having my back. Unlock my darn card. But yeah, how are you going to get away with this, I guess, would be my first question. If I were perpetrating this crime, which I would be smart enough not to.
And now you're going to jail.
He is. He faces, according to the story at NBC, he was booked on charges of third-degree grand theft and possession of a skimming device, held on a $10,000 bond. The customer, by the way, did get a full refund, and I guess now has a story that he can tell for the rest of his life when people say, man, I can't believe I spent that much money at the bar last night. He can come back and say, oh, yeah, I spent $724 on a pair of beers. Doesn't say, the story does not say what type of beer it was.
I might be willing to pay that if I go to a Dolphins game.
It feels like you pay that price when you go to a pro sport. Unless you go to Atlanta. What they've done there in opening that stadium, and Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, wanted it to be family friendly, and so you can go and you can get pizza and hot dogs and beer without completely. I think a Bud Light is $7 at an NFL game. Are you kidding me? Now, I know it's probably like a 12-ounce draft, and $7 for Bud Light is still pretty expensive, but when you're in a captive audience inside an NFL stadium, $7 is a steal.
Also, at Great American Ballpark, you got to find the food stands in Cincinnati that have it, but I think you can get like $3 hot dogs and $2 sodas, something ridiculously cheap at Great American Ballpark.
I think the Twins were going to try something similar at Target Field in select areas of the ballpark. And then, of course, what did people do? They complained about having to wait in line. and missing the game. You can't have it both ways. You're either going to pay full price and get faster service, or you're going to wait in line and save some money.
Yeah, that's how this world works.
Well, like you're breaking news to a lot of people, I have a feeling.
It's like when you go to the amusement park, like you go to Six Flags or Adventureland, and you pay the regular price to get in, you're going to have to wait in line. To not wait in line, you got to pay the extra whatever it costs to skip the line. This is America. That's how it works.
Yeah, and then you get to the amusement park and you think that you've beat the system, and then you realize that 900 other people have also bought the speed pass or whatever it's called. And you still have to wait with them. We're a couple years away from the Disneyland, Disney World trip. It's going to be right around the corner. I can feel it. And I don't know what I'm going to do with myself when I get to that point. Because I'm a simple man working a simple job. I'm not made of money here. And then it's going to be Disneyland prices, and I'll be paying $700 and some for a couple beers before the thing is over. 319-366-16. They didn't cover the spread this weekend, by the way, did they? The offense, I think they were a 2-touchdown underdog to the Chargers. Wasn't it a 20-point out? It's like 30-10 was the final score. The Dolphins are getting they're getting closer. They'll cover the spread at some point.
Will they win a game?
How many?
It was 30-10, by the way. They have the Redskins next. The Redskins against the Dolphins this weekend. The Redskins are favored.
Is Haskins the quarterback, or are they sticking with Case Keenum?
Leave if Haskins. I don't think they've made an announcement yet, but. How many people are going to be at that game?
You get an opportunity to go to an NFL game.
I don't know. That is an NFL game by default only. That's not really an NFL game.
There are a surprising number of winless teams, at least in my view at this point, through 4 weeks of the season. You would think that someone would luck into a victory here or there. Which one of these surprises you the most? The Jets, Dolphins, Bengals, the Broncos, the Redskins, and the Cardinals are all winless at this point. I'm kind of surprised by Denver. Even though Joe Flacco is not a great quarterback, I still thought, okay, yeah, they got some. They'll win one of their early games. To be sitting there winless and at the bottom of the Raiders are 2-2.
They have 5 total sacks on the season. That's the other thing. And now Bradley Chubb is out for the year with an ACL injury. Their defense, which you would think under Vic Fangio, who was the architect of that defense in Chicago that looks so good, would be able to muster up some more pressure with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. That has not happened. And they have completely found ways to lose. I guess I would say, if I had to pick, I would say the Jets, but I didn't know that Sam Darnold was going to come down with mono. The Bengals, I didn't think were going to be good. I didn't think they were going to be this bad. Nothing surprises me about Washington, and nothing surprises me about Miami being 0-4. Or even really Arizona, for that matter.
How do you do this to your fans? That's what I don't understand. But I do get that it is a business, and you're tanking, and you're trying to put yourself in a position to find that franchise quarterback. Which would you rather have, Tua next year, or in 2 years have Trevor Lawrence? I would rather have Trevor Lawrence in 2 years, but 319-366-1600. The text line pointing out that the Redskins actually have the Patriots.
Yeah, the Dolphins have a bye week,
and the Dolphins have
mistake. The Dolphins are off this week, so they cannot lose.
Woohoo! But will you still be paying $700 for two beers watching the Dolphins on a bye week. 6:40, we'll take a quick timeout when we come back. One last look at the National League wild card game before it gets underway tonight as the Nationals play host to the Brewers. Winner advances to take on the Dodgers. Back with more after this.
Microsoft will no longer be supporting Windows 7 come January of 2020. Everybody needs to be on Windows 10. We tell them exactly what PCs can be upgraded, what PCs may need to be replaced, and that way they know and the options are out there for them. Just call and say, I know I need to upgrade to Windows 10. Don't know where to start.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
6:42, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Tuesday evening here in Eastern Iowa, and I have a mystery on my hands that I'm about to solve in the next 20 minutes. But according to my wife, she gave my son $2 to spend at a garage sale today, and to quote the text that I received from her, "You're going to kill me when you get home." And my son has apparently hugged her 30 times, and she wants to punch herself in the face. Now, the eternal question, what did my son purchase?
Something that makes
$2?
A very annoying noise.
My guess is it's going to be some sort of musical instrument for $2. The other guess...
Or like a stuffed animal that makes noise, or...
My other guess was that it's some sort of battery-powered thing that makes noise, a.k.a. a stuffed animal and or a book. And my other guess here is possibly some sort of DVD and or CD that he would listen to on repeat. He does... Kids that age, they get on things and they don't want to get off. Like, he's all in on The Lion King. He's going to be Simba for Halloween, and he wants me to dress up as Mufasa. He desperately wants me to be Mufasa, and I don't even know if I'm going to be able to trick or treat with him or not this year, because I'm on the air until 7 o'clock that night. But he's begging me. He's like, "Dad, Daddy Lion."
Yeah, you have to do it. You dress up for Halloween every year, right?
I did it half-heartedly last year.
Okay. I already know what mine is going to be. It's going to be a secret, though.
Yeah, speaking of half, nobody was more half-hearted in their Halloween costume than you were last year, going as, was it Sean McVay?
Yeah, that was a throw-together
I got some Rams stuff in the closet, and here I am, Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams.
I work at a radio station, so I have headsets and like a play card. This is... I will not be Sean McVay again this year.
It's got to be a musical instrument, right? It can't be anything like, I'm thinking of drums.
Like, what about like a Clark the Cub that sings?
Let's see. I wouldn't mind that. What? Ooh. could be some sort of cardinal. Well, no, she says she wants to punch herself in the face. She wouldn't mind if it was if he bought Cardinals gear
but
or something.
Isn't she a Braves fan?
That's her team. Well, it's the Houston Astros in this situation is musical instrument. Like you got to lay down $400 to make $100 if you're betting on anything other than this being a flute or a drum set or something.
A harmonica.
Oh, we did just watch the country music documentary on
PBS. If it is a harmonica,
PBS.
I can teach him how to play. I'll give
you know
him
how
free
to play
lessons.
That you and Stan, you hang out with Stan Musial?
I do not. I wish, but I do know how to play the harmonica.
That was always, that's one thing that I was happy to have witnessed one time in my life was Stan Musial playing the harmonica on opening day in St. Louis. 319-366-1600. He's playing the drums when I'm walking in the door tonight. I can almost guarantee
it. For $2?
Like a child's drum or something. He's got the xylophone. He's got some musical instruments. But I'm being warned that I'm going to not be happy when I walk in the door tonight. I'm going to be happy when I walk in the door tonight. We got postseason baseball to watch. I don't know how I made it through yesterday without baseball to watch. I know people, if you don't like baseball, you're happy that the season is over and you're not interested in it at all and the season is too long. Well, the postseason is here and it kicks off tonight and it's a pretty good game and it's the Brewers and the Nationals. And I think the Nationals advance to take on the Dodgers. I don't think it matters who wins this game tonight because the Dodgers, in my opinion, have the pitching and the offense to take care of whoever advances. Oh. I don't know what that tornado warning is for, but if you heard my apologies for that. My phone went off in the background there. Do we have severe weather in the area?
We have a severe weather, a severe thunderstorm warning until 7:30 for counties including Tama and Poweshiek.
Okay. And there we go. Well, that was certainly an unexpected and unpleasant intrusion into the broadcast tonight. I was unaware that we were facing the prospects of severe weather, but taking a peek at the radar and looking at local news coverage on the television set here in the studio, we do have severe weather in the area. So please be careful this evening if you are out and about. That was until, is it 7:15?
Yes.
Okay. So up until we are on the air, and we'll maybe even stick around a little bit tonight to make sure that things don't get too hairy for you here in Eastern Iowa. 6:49, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a Tuesday evening as we suddenly have weather popping up that we will be dealing with. And again, that's in our listening area, and we want to make sure that everybody is safe and sound, and we'll stay on top of that as we are here for the final couple minutes of a Tuesday show. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. UNI coming off a tough loss to Weber State in Ogden, Utah this past weekend. We'll get Gary's thoughts on that and more. It's Big Ten Basketball Media Day tomorrow in Chicago. Can anybody challenge Michigan State for supremacy in the Big Ten this year? The 5 o'clock face-off brings you an opportunity to win some nice prizes, and Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com answers your fantasy football questions. I think I got lucky. I took a stab last week. I had Baker Mayfield as my quarterback. I went all in on him this year. Matthew Berry had him as a top 5 quarterback. I grabbed Jacoby Brissett, and I'm thinking that according to ESPN, he's one of the top ads this week. Jacoby Brissett throwing touchdown passes in multiple touchdown passes in the last couple games. I'm looking like maybe I can still salvage this fantasy football season, even though I'm 2-2.
Well, that makes one of us.
And you got kicked in the teeth last night.
Yeah, that was going to be my first win too,
by the Steelers' defense.
I'm rebuilding. I'm in full Dolphins tank mode.
There's no science to fantasy football. No. Nobody can convince me otherwise. I've got Julio Jones and Juju Smith-Schuster and Cooper Kupp as my top three receivers. Can you foresee any situation other than a bye week where I would not be starting those three guys? And yet, Emmanuel Sanders and one time Cortland Sutton was outscoring. I've got Josh Gordon on my bench, too. It's an embarrassment of riches for a 2-2 franchise. That tornado warning still in effect, by the way, for some of the listening area. Appears to be just to the north of Cedar Rapids, but not minimalizing that at all because we do have a large listening area. Again, stay tuned as we'll keep you abreast of what's going on with the tornado warning. Thunderstorm warning as well tonight. Looks like we're in for some hairy moments here. That was not a good-sounding weather alert from the National Weather Service. Some hail and some high winds and a tornadic thunderstorm, which certainly sounds as dangerous as described. So, again, stick with us. We've got somebody in the building over the course of every 24-hour period here. If something gets to the point where we need to bring it to your attention, we will certainly do that. Coming up on the program tomorrow, as we mentioned, a great lineup for you. Tristan will answer your fantasy football questions. Chris Liss of rotowire.com will join the gym class tomorrow. Fantasy football coverage brought to you by Imon Communication all throughout the season. And then on Thursday, we're back at Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. Stop on in. Buddy Lee's going to get you registered for some great prizes. Alex and I will do the show from 4 until 7. Half-price wings are on tap from 6 until close. And you can enjoy great happy hour specials at Mulligan's as well between the hours of 3 and 6. The National League wildcard game comes your way from Nationals Park in Washington, D.C. here on KGYM. It's the Nats and the Brewers. We'll break it down for you tomorrow and talk AL wildcard on Wednesday.